Passaggio.
Welcome to meeting 6:30. I'll declare the February Council meeting open, and as always, begin with our opening statement. Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional country of the Kaurna people. We pay our respects to ancestors and elders past and present as the custodians of this ancient and beautiful land. Together, we will care for this place for the generations to come, and in this context, the decisions we make should be guided by the principle that nothing we do should decrease our children's ability to live on this land. I have an apology from Mayor Wisdom this evening, and we have two previously approved leave of absences, Councillor Pauline Bill and Councillor Lydia Huxter. Other than that, we do have everyone present, so there's nobody absent. Before we consider any other items on the agenda tonight, we have to approve the previous minutes. Would someone like to move something in relation to this? Councillor Grant, would you like to move it as printed?
Yeah.
Right. Seconder, Councillor Mudge. No debate. All those in favour, please indicate. It is carried unanimously. So there was a leave of absence request that I was not aware of. Apologies, Councillor Mudge. I can see it on the screen now. So I will just so it's up on the screen from the 5th of March to the 7th of April. Councillor Selwood, you're happy to move
Yeah.
as on the screen, and Councillor Herman, you're happy to second. All those in favour, please indicate. And that is carried unanimously. Does anyone have a declaration of conflict of interest to make regarding this evening? Councillor Cheetah.
Yeah, I can draw my forum as a material. Yes.
And we'll speak more specifically when we get to the item.
Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Grant.
Yeah, thank you. Deputy Mayor, for the declaration of conflict of interest, but I to 11.1, the motion on notice, which I'll expand on to get the item.
11.2.
11.2, it is. Thank you.
That's all right. Okay, any other conflicts of interest, Councillor Herman?
I have a general conflict of interest in item 12.4. It will be a push by safe placements. The general conflict and I'll stay on and vote.
Any other conflicts of interest? I will just flag for item 12.10, doing a material conflict of interest for part of that item, but I'll speak more specifically to that in the next item. Okay, with respect to opening remarks, I just have a few points to make. Firstly, welcome everyone who's decided to come along to our council meeting tonight. It's great to have community interest in our conversations and the decisions we make in the chamber. I'd also just like to flag, as councillors would be aware, there was some new information circulated with respect to some items on the agenda tonight. When we get to those items, I'll ask the administration to explain that information should anyone not have seen it be provided by email earlier in the day or yesterday. I also will seek leave of the meeting to bring the public forum forward before our deputation and the petition. Reason being that we have some members in the gallery who want to speak to the petition, so it'd be good for them to have that opportunity prior to us endorsing any decision in relation to that. And lastly, we do have a member of the gallery who'd just like to take a photo when Mr. Smith delivers his deputation, the promo. I just want to check, does anyone have any concern in relation to that? Please let me know. Okay, thank you very much. That's all I have opening remarks. So we'll move to questions adjourned lying on the table. We do have one question adjourned, which was a motion on notice by Councillor Mark Osterstock. Regarding the code of practice for the council meeting procedures. Now, I'd like to seek leave of the meeting to reset the debate, should elected members wish to do that, given that. So, can I see a show of hands who's happy to reset the debate? Yep, so I do have leave of the meeting. With that in mind, I'll refer to Councillor Oscar Stock to speak to his motion.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just following on from 2 meetings ago, this motion, well, I formally move the motion as printed in the agenda papers and on the screen.
As members can see from the report, this motion simply seeks to refine the scope in terms of clause 3.8 of the Mayor's opening remarks to ensure that they are limited to meeting conduct and significant civic or cultural events. This change eliminates ambiguity and reinforces the intent of this agenda item, clarifying that personal explanations or urgent matters should be raised in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meetings Procedures Regulations. That is the intent of Clause 3.8, the amendment to Mayor's opening remarks. Addresses by members, Clause 4.6, once again, the proposed changes clarify the conditions under which personal explanations can be made by members, ensuring that these explanations remain professional and focused. And by removing the discretionary language should not and replacing it with definitive wording will not, and the amendments provide a stronger safeguard against improper use. Members, that is the intent of the motion. Members will note that it is supported by the officer's recommendations. I commend the motion to the chamber.
Okay, do I have a seconder? Councillor Chair, you'd like to second the motion? Who wishes to speak to the motion?
I am not.
Councillor Boyd, you'd like to speak to the motion?
Yes, I'd like to see whether we can have a variation. So this is a question about a variation. A couple of times in there, it says number three, it says that the administration members of the public will be used for making statements regarding council resolutions. And I think that one statement is just taking it a bit too far if they can't infer.
It sounds like you're debating. I mean, if you have a variation, what you need to do is put forward how you'd like it changed.
I just like it removed.
Which aspect specifically?
Will be used for making statements regarding council resolutions.
So, mover, you accept the variation?
No, I don't. Okay. And I can explain why.
Maybe to the town. Yes. Okay, so do you want to debate the item?
Is it possible to do an amendment or?
You can move an amendment.
Okay,
yeah.
See if I can second that.
Sure.
Okay, I don't really have much to say apart from the fact that I think that's just going one step too far.
So just to check, your amendment is to move the writing highlighted in yellow on the screen.
Yeah, will be used for making statements regarding council resolutions. Yes. However, I believe it does occur somewhere else in his.
You need to explain
where that is.
Yep.
Did someone else look too? Here we go. It says from, so this is on page, doesn't have a page number, page three, and it's under from, and it says will be used for making statements regarding council.
So the from is the currently existing wording in the policy. So that is already in the policy.
Okay.
And the to is what is it's being changed to.
Thank you.
And the changes are in relation to
so it's actually not with that change anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just in the one position that I first noted. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's also taking an input from.
Yes, correct. So with this motion you have from, which is what the current existing policy is, and then the to, which is what Councillor Osterstock is suggesting to change it to.
Yeah.
So there's no need to change anything from. If you want to make an amendment, you need to change it in the two.
Yeah.
So I assume that is under two and that final paragraph says or be used for making statements regarding council resolutions.
Yes. And the first place that I saw is what?
The first place you saw was the form.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's actually already in the policy at this point in time.
Okay. See, that's my amendment.
Okay, do you want to speak to it?
No, I don't need to speak to it.
Someone's seconding them. Councillor Pascal, would you like to speak to it?
No, not at this stage, thank you.
Okay. But anyone likes to debate the amendment, voting you're not debating a substantive motion, but if it's your debate, then if it's the amendment itself.
Am I able to state the amendment?
Yes.
I'll enter the debate. I oppose the amendment. Personal explanations or statements on council resolutions are covered in Regulation 15. If any member is the subject to a council resolution and they wish to address the chamber in relation to that resolution, they first, in accordance with the regulation, must seek leave of the council. If leave is granted, they are then able to make a personal statement in relation to a council resolution. That is what the regulations allow for: personal explanations and matters of urgency. Any member is free to make any statement they like, but they must first seek council permission, leave of the meeting in accordance with Regulation 15. This amendment I have to focus on the actual amendment.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. So the amendment is redundant because it is provisioned for in Regulation 15. So I can't support the amendment, and I urge my fellow councillors not to either.
Councillors, yes, you're allowed to speak to the amendment.
I think Councillor Sistock just proved why this amendment can actually go through. You can call a point of order if the person hasn't asked for a leave of the meeting. And I think this is, I won't go any further than just saying, I think there is a process in place should that happen, and that is if a person hasn't for the leave of the meeting, then we can call the point of order. It's up to us to do that.
Okay, would anyone else? Councillor Stilton.
Yes, I've got a question, and I did ask this last time we talked about this motion, but I would like to ask again, given this amendment. If council resolved that somebody is required to give a personal explanation, the wording of this says that it will not be allowed. Is that still possible if a resolution requires an explanation?
So under the current wording, that's quite restrictive, because it says you can't make a personal explanation, that does refer to a council resolution. The proposed amendment is more expansive and does allow you in limited circumstances, including when the resolution is relevant, which is the B. So it actually is achieving, it's allowing more discrepancy, more leniency on speaking to a council resolution. So currently you can't make a personal explanation that's relevant to a resolution. The amendment allows you in certain circumstances when it is to address a requirement of council. Thank you.
Do you like to speak to the... Do you have a question? Because you can't debate.
I didn't speak. I'm sorry. I'm only going to say seven words.
Hold on. You can't.
I haven't spoken.
Yes, but the mover can only speak when they move the item. The seconder can reserve their right of reply. Got to follow the process. Does anyone else like to speak to him? Okay, there is no right of reply, so the opposing law of the debate of the amendment, all those in favour, please indicate. Of the amendment. Those against? The amendment is lost. So we resume the debate back at the original motion moved by Councillor Osterstock, seconded by Councillor Jeter. Anyone else like to speak to the motion itself? Councillor Bunch.
Thank you, Acting. This issue is a consequence of this wording of the procedure that would allow it to be used today in what would otherwise be considered a personal explanation in response to a direction in a resolution of council. The intention of the Mayor's opening remarks is only for the purposes of matters regarding the conduct of the meeting or to acknowledge a significant civic, cultural or other events. It's never been intended in the entire time that I've been in con council that it be used for a personal explanation or to criticise resolutions of the council. And I think that's pretty clear in the wording to a certain extent, that Councillor Osterstock's motion really tightens set up. As we were previously advised at the previous meeting, I think it might even be in the original report, many councillors do not have this section in their agenda, and it is very much at our discretion to determine what this is about. As we have added to the motion as has been added to the motion before us. It is an option to consider whether we have this item at all. If we continue to accept that the mayor has discretion to use this section of the meeting to make personal explanations or other statements about the conduct of resolutions of the council that they disagree with, then we are providing the mayor with an unfair privilege that no other elected member has, and also tend to undermine public confidence in the council. Further amendments to the personal explanations provisions makes it clear that these statements are to be only used for specific purposes outlined and not to have a go at the decision of council or to attack specific members and staff who are involved in that decision. The meeting is not the personal, this meeting is not the personal forum for any member, including the mayor, and should be treated in such a way, particularly in the way that could bring the council into disrepute. So I support Councillor Ostertag's original motion. I think it's definitely tightening up procedures.
Anyone else like to speak to the motion? Councillor Brown?
Yeah, thank you. Acting Mayor, I'll be as brief as possible. By the way, and I support that the mayors should have an apostrophe. So, in brief, the capacity for the presiding member to make opening remarks is an issue for this chamber. We could easily remove that component. I think it's valuable, as you did yourself at the start of the meeting, Deputy Mayor, you used the opening remarks to welcome members of the public and to address some matters relating to the conduct of the meeting. But Councillor Ostertag's motion, as we know, is tightening it up to prevent its use as a soapbox. It's not going to be used for that. There are other means of giving a statement in the chamber, as is regularly done in this chamber, and that is to make a personal statement, or personal explanation to the leader of the meeting. That's the way to do it, and it just expedites the meetings, and I think keeps it spent, so what we're meant to be doing. But I'll support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Chair. Indicated by the Speaker.
Yeah, thank you. I absolutely agree that there are appropriate positions in the meeting for the elected body to have that participation. But more specifically, I guess why I'm in support of this motion is through my time this term, we've had several instances of our policies where they've been tested. And policies are really good in theory until they need to be enacted. And I think this is just another example of where we have a policy, it hasn't been tested in the way that has been indicated tonight, but it may have been tested before, which has then led to some reflection on policy and its strength, and if it's serving the purpose that we're looking for, and to review the policy. So I really do support this and encouraging ongoing and regular reflection on our policies. Are they fit for purpose? Not just today, but mayors, elected members, and administration to the future. So I support this motion.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to the motion? As seconder of the amendment, you're unable to speak to it. So if you move or second an amendment, you cannot then speak to the original motion.
So I can't say my seven words?
Correct. Would anyone else like to speak to the motion? Okay, Councillor Ostertag, write a reply.
I just thank the council for their support for this resolution. Thank you.
Okay, with debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. Those against, that motion is carried.
Division.
Set aside my previous ruling, ask all those in favour, please stand. Indicate your support for the motion. So, Councillor Herman, Councillor Selwood, Councillor Grant, Councillor Parkin, Councillor Cheetah, Councillor Mudge, and Councillor Ostersock. Those against, please stand. Councillor Boyd and Councillor Pascal. With that in mind, I declare the motion carried. Okay, we'll now move on to item 8. And as flagged earlier in the meeting, I'd like to seek leave to move the public forum forward, as there are people in the gallery who would like to speak to the petition. Do you have leave of the meeting? Thank you. So for those in the gallery, we have a public forum every meeting, which is an opportunity for anyone who'd like to say a few words to us as an elected body to do so. I am aware of some people that would like to speak tonight. We have a total time of 10 minutes, so how long you get is dependent on how many people pop their hands up. So who would like to speak this evening? Yeah, one, two, say three. Okay. So we'll give you over 3 minutes each to speak. Lawrence, would you like to come forward? Yes. So if you could just please state your name, your location, the topic that you'd like to speak to, and then we'll have you 3 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Deputy Acting Mayor, thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, my name is Lawrence Angie. I'm from 18 Branch of Stirling. In our petition is in regards to Branch Road being closed off, where it has the easement. Branch Road has always been a branch road in the map. You go back to 40 years, okay, it's a long time. And suddenly last month or thereabouts, council just came and closed off the steps. So the steps has been used for the last 40 years at least. My children all go to school, go down there, go to Heathfield, and now it's closed. Other people in the street cannot use the steps anymore. I applaud the council for making the other half of the steps really beautiful and perfect. That is fantastic. If they had left the top without just putting dirt on it so that people cannot walk on it anymore. And if someone said it was dangerous, it should have been dangerous like 40 years ago and not just a month ago. All right. So I plead to the council to reconsider that we either upgrade that little steps. You don't have to complete like what you've done before. Because I think one of the engineers, the argument costs us $40,000. All right, which we're not sure whether it's true or not. However, all we need to do is cut back the few steps that they fill up with dirt. And that's all we request is the dirt being removed so that people can still use that steps to go down to Warrawinda. Okay, and that 100% of the residents, of the residents from Branch Road signed the petition. Not just half, not 30%, but 100% of us. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a little bit of time for a question if anyone has one. Yes, Councillor Park.
Thank you. Through you, Deputy Mayor. Can I ask how long ago this occurred and the reasons for its occurrence and the executive
My understanding is it was mid last year in response to safety concerns. Is that correct, Mr. Williams?
No.
Through you, Deputy Mayor, there was some work done on some stairs. The fence, I can't tell you the exact date the fencing went up. That might have been more recently, but it was
January.
So we provided a response to the petition. There's a report on that on the agenda as well, where we explained the steps that staff took at the time. Which includes the fact that we're looking at the cost of new stairs to go in for council's consideration as part of its budget and new actions.
Thanks. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thanks. So if you can just press the button, reliable here, you can just take your name, location, and what you'd like to speak.
Thank you, Anthony. My name is Les Thompson. I actually live on Branch Road, just with the reader, 19 Branch Road. And I think in that thing you got on the screen on the first page, you read out loud something in the beginning. Could I please go back to it?
Our opening statement?
Yes.
I'll just play it.
And it's P-O-B-S Mitcher, L-S-E-N, I'm Danish, originally from Swedish.
So council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional country of the Paramount Kijana people. We pay our respects to ancestors and elders past and present as the custodians of this ancient beautiful land. Together we'll care for this place for the generations to come, and in this context decisions we make should be guided by the principle that nothing we do should decrease our children's ability to live on this land.
See, I'm okay and I've got two small children and that was probably one of the favorite parts of the path, mostly for the steep of the land and the seas. And we didn't leave there very long before they were removed without notice on consultation. And I think speaking to the opening statement that we should add a lot of consideration to making this available again.
Thank you.
Does any elected member have a question before you reply?
There's no.
Yeah, Councillor Holmes.
Not to, but to you, is there likely any amendment to what we see on the screen in regards to the procedure?
That's up to the chamber. I did circulate wording earlier in the week with some suggested wording around considering as part of the next year's budget.
Can we put that wording up there?
Well, we'll get to the item. We're still the public forum. So I'll fire up. Okay. But to come up, we have one more speaker for our public forum.
Hey.
So just, yeah, your name, location, and like speaker.
Of course. So my name is Cherie Venter, and I'm from Save Our Wildlife Foundation. I came to speak to the council in December about a proposal for establishing a wildlife finishing school at 22 Bryant Road in Stirling. I'm just about to say that Sophie remains committed to the proposal, and we continue to believe that it has the potential to create significant community benefit for your constituents through volunteering opportunities and also by continuing to protect the amazing natural landscape and wildlife that you're so lucky to have here in the Adelaide Hills, to protect that for now and the future. Now, I'd like to thank the administration for the significant amount of work that they did in preparing a really comprehensive report looking at the feasibility and the legalities around our proposal. And they've done a lot of work helping answer our questions. I'm sure answering your questions and concerns as well. So thank you very much. Now, looking at the report that has been proposed, I've looked through the recommendations, and of course, we'd very much like to move forward with a lease or a license. I'd like to raise a concern though regarding the proposed length of a lease or license agreement. I see that in the report under consideration is 1 for 2 years for the land and 1 for the house. Now, Sophie's concerns around this 10-year-old period is that it is not a very long time for us to essentially get a return on investment for a significant investment in what is roughly a fixed asset. Building the Avery complex as part of the finishing school is going to cost about $50,000. And to move that will cost about half of that. So there's a significant risk to us under a 2-year agreement. But I do have a proposal to council that I think could actually de-risk the project for both of us. And that is to consider the proposal under a 5-year lease, but to go to community consultation based on that 5-year lease. Now, by going to community consultation, the council will be able to hear, thank you, will be able to hear from your constituents about how they feel about the project and about supporting the rehabilitation of noted wildlife here in Stirling. But what that also does then is, based on that 5-year lease, it gives Sophie and our funding partners a bit of stability and certainty that we're actually going to get a return on the investment into building that infrastructure before, you know, going into lease renewal kind of discussions. Very happy to answer any questions.
I'll take one question. Councillor Orr, you can leave
that. Yeah, thank you very much for coming this evening. I just wanted to ask, would you consider sharing the space?
In what space? Are we talking the land or the house?
Either.
Yes, we certainly consider it. I think there would be, yeah, we definitely consider it. My hesitation is merely around ensuring that access to the animals themselves is restricted. That's a basis for our permitting requirements and also for a safety for the animals and any humans who we be sharing the space with. But yes, certainly, because, you know, the space in the backyard is going to be the aviaries. We don't need the rest of it. We're happy to share. And the same thing with the house. In the presentation that we did talk about, you know, our potential future vision, but we recognize we've got to start small and make sure we bring the community along first. And so in the meantime, that sharing with the house definitely is something we could discuss.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No worries.
Let's run out of time. We have the item itself tonight, Councillor Van Evans.
Oh, thereafter.
Okay, so moving on. So we did bring 8.34 today. We'll now go to 8.1, which are the petitions, which we have one in relation to Water Bend at Bushland Reserve and the access from the branch road. So we do have the resolution in the agenda. Someone like to move something, Councillor Selwood?
Yeah, I'd like to move the word that you circulated earlier in the week.
Yeah. Would you like to speak into that motion?
Yeah, I would. I think there's so many benefits to us looking at these stairs that we're a vendor, and we've heard some of them from the community tonight. I did go for a run through there recently and saw the stairs like that, and then assumed it was just like a one-way thing and didn't realise it was still ongoing. So I'm glad that got brought to us. I think it's really important that we keep good bicycle being so close by to make sure that we've got good pedestrian access through the area, but also just for people to enjoy the beauty of Warrawinda. So I do think it's important that we look at it as part of our budget setting process and consider what sort of timeline we can look at to reinstate the stairs.
Thanks, Councillor. I'll sort Councillor Newman's hand first.
I'll second it. And just speaking to it, I strongly support the way forward on this, but I was more perhaps had a concern that this happened and there was no notification of the elected body this is going to happen. There was no perception that it might upset the locals. But also there was no communication with the say the immediate vicinity. There are other people that use that track besides the people in the vicinity. And I don't know if there's a process can be put in place that where things like that that affect users, but they can get some warning about it being attempted. Obviously there was a safety issue, but just to walk there one morning and then not be able to walk there the following morning would be a problem for the locals. So I'm strongly support the view.
And a fair point of feedback, and perhaps even if it does need to happen very quickly, that there's some reasoning provided in some sort of. Councillor Parker, you'd like to speak to the issue?
Yes, I'd like to speak in support of the motion, but also note, as a fairly regular walker to Warrawinda, the stairs do sometimes, it's not the first time that they've sort of been cut off. Sometimes they're, you know, over the last few years I've seen, you know, plastic guardrails and things, and quite frankly, a lot of people just sort of go around the guardrails and sort of go down the side of the stairs, which is, it's like quite a well-worn path down the side of the stairs, actually. I think it is a problematic area because I would imagine in winter it gets very wet and it becomes a little bit like a waterfall, and that's sort of part of the problem. So to try and, you know, address that in some way as a part of this budgeting process to see if we can sort of deal with that, and that's potentially where the expense would come in, would be worth exploring, I think. Yeah, to try and solve this in a way so, you know, every couple of years we don't have to put these plastic across there, that would be quite good. Thank you.
Councillor Chair, did you still want to speak?
No, I will give up this deal.
Okay, Councillor Grant, you're next.
Yeah, if we could ask a question.
Sure,
thank you, Mayor. Of the administration, was there an issue relating to this path that is crossing private land at one point? Is that partly what a road is? That's what I heard in this discussion.
Okay, we can just let the administration answer that. Thanks.
That these are the locals to answer that. No, there was actually some time ago, and you may be thinking of an area further along the path that did actually sneak onto private property in and out, but that's not related to the particular site in question. The particular site in question is within a unmade road reserve, so it's actually not within reserve land itself. It's actually an unmade road reserve, it was, as I said earlier, it was. There was some damage and some efforts were made to direct the trail elsewhere, but we were doing a lot of work in the reserve time on the boardwalk, and the boardwalk call came to the chamber because the cost of that ended up being twice as much as what had been budgeted. So we wanted to come back on that first, which is exactly what we wanted to do with this one before we went ahead and spent a considerable amount of money.
Thank you. Councillor Allen, would you like to speak? Councillor Boyd?
Yes, thank you.
As the community members that are presented in the public forum tonight said, it is really important for our community to be able to enjoy this space. But I think it goes a lot further than just enjoyment, because we are in a bushfire risk zone. And I think that individuals using that space need easy access and easy exits from the park itself. So actually having another access point is, I think, really important for bushfire safety.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Can I ask for this? I think it's quite important. We know that it's not a guarantee that the stairs are going to be built. It's just that we're going to consider it as part of our budget process. I just wanted to have a question about the wording. I'm assuming you mean compliance stairs rather than compliance stairs.
If anyone else like to speak, Councillor Selwyn, I need to write up the fire. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Thank you for coming along and speaking to that issue. And as Councillor Munch did allude to, it means we'll consider it as part of our budget process, but we haven't necessarily endorsed that. It will definitely occur, but it's something that we'll contemplate and debate on during our budget setting processes. So you won't be offended if you choose to leave, but you're welcome to hang around as long as you like.
If it comes to expense, we have to do the pick and shovel version.
Okay, so that was the only condition we had. We do have a deputation signed by Mr. Steve Smith from the Landwood and Forest Range Community Association, if you'd like to come forward and speak.
Anyone?
And you have 10 minutes and 5 minutes for the questions after.
You want to see a screen?
Good evening, everyone. So my name is Steve Smith, 181 Parkland Road, is at the Island Side in Forest Range. Probably first, I'd just like to express my thanks for being given an opportunity to speak in front of you tonight. So thank you for your time. I'm a member of the Lendwood Forest Range Community Association. It's a good announcement, which I'll refer to us as the OFRCA in my presentation. Save time, I've only got 10 minutes. So, our community association, OFRCA, we exist to promote the interests of our community, the Lendwood Forest Range community. Our community has been tackling a bit of an issue in our area for a number of years. It's ongoing, continues to be a thorn in our side, and that's not without efforts from local government and state government entities to try and resolve it. And I'm talking about the state of our main street and the inability of some local residents to maintain their properties in an orderly manner. I'd like to, well, the LFRCA acknowledges council's sustained efforts to try and manage situations around the unrest office over the years. However, the situation remains untenable in the eyes of the community. And we, as a community association, we don't basically rely on the negatives, and we want to stop it continuing to negatively impact our community, and we want to do something positive in our powers to try and create a better outcome for our community. So I present the Lendwood Main Street Beautification Project. I've got some slides here I'll run through. For those not familiar with the area, I'll set the scene. So this is an over area of the Lendwood Township. Lendwood Main Street is on Lowethal Road, the state government managed road. However, there are a number of council owned and operated main rural roads that intersect Lowethal Road through Lendwood. So we've got Swamp Road in south, Tears Road in east to Woodside, and Coleshill Road in north to Cudley Creek. Lendwood's about 10 minutes from everywhere. So you head west, you get to Raider, and you know, south about Hannah in 10 minutes. Lowethal and Woodside are east 10 minutes, Cudley Creek to the north. Spatially, the Lendwood Township is quite separated. So Lendwood Primary School down the bottom left hand corner. We've got Centennial Park and Adelaide Hills Council asset, and it's one of the most beautiful parks in the hills. If you've ever been there, I encourage you to visit it. We've got the Lendwood Post Office, and that's really the centre of our township. And then up in the top there, cold storage facilities, the bowls covering EU assent to the rural store. People visiting or Lendry is probably seen a bit of a thoroughfare for a lot of people. There's a lot of heavy vehicle traffic that uses the coal stores and Wellington Quarry, excuse me. We get a lot of weekend traffic, Fox Creek Bike Park, and seasonal visitors as well, with tourism and wineries and that. Lots of people come through. Our township and our main street isn't much, but it is the heart of our community. And the post office is our hub. So this is the street image of what our post office in Main Street looks like. Now, it says there's room off the side of the road there and can't park by a big post office. It isn't a typically an overwhelmingly welcoming place, though. And only the locals really understand that the post office is a really general place. So we got together and we wanted to do something positive when we created this project, and we set about a bit of a process here, so just want to explain what we did. We set up a subgroup to sort of spearhead a strategy and come up with some ideas about what we could do. We had a general community meeting where we put an area of grievances with our community. It was well attended, and we took away what the community has concern for with our main street. We then, as a subgroup, we developed some concept ideas to try and resolve some of these issues that the community has. With these concept ideas, we then went through an extensive community consultation process. We went online on our started post office, then we had a community forum to work through our ideas with the community. We got really good feedback, lots of feedback and constructive feedback. And what we ended up with was a set of concept ideas. We've now refined it based on our consultation process. And we've got a set of plans and ideas that is community-driven, community-led, it's got community and community support, and it's got community buy-in. So in my experience with public realm projects, that's one of the main hurdles. And we feel like we've really done some legwork there. Then we took our proposals to a federal member of parliament, Sharkey, and our ex special minister Dan Cregan, and got some support from both of them as well. When I spoke about the community's concerns, I probably just wanted to speak to that a little bit. There's three main things that we're worried about. They're not, well, they're big things, but they are able to be overcome. Pedestrian connectivity, I spoke about how eventually the space was separated. The school and the post office is where students walk every day. They get dropped off at the post office, they walk to school. There's very limited parking at school, so that's why they do it. It is not a great connectivity between the school and the post office. There's general safety concerns with the main street that is currently arranged, and the speed environment through there. There's visual amenity, which I've touched on before. So, this is, I'll just quickly run through some slides showing what we've come up with as ideas to do to resolve some of the community issues. So I'll start with improved connectivity. We wanted to bring footpath down from Major Primary School to Council Beach Stood. So that's fantastic. And you might not understand the impact that's had on the community, but it's been really great. 2 years ago, kids were walking from the post office to the primary school on the road, on the actual road itself. And now they have a footpath off the side of the road, and it's fantastic. What we want to do is continue that and get them across over for road safety. There's no crossing point from where they really park things now to the post office. We want to normalise crossing of level for road. We understand Wombat crossings and
letting it know you've got 3 minutes.
Very good, thank you. Wombat's crossing, double crossing, they're expensive, they're complex and involve the IT. So we don't necessarily need that. We want something that's going to save and direct kids across the road, and that could be a set of ramps. We need to extend the culvert across. There's great crossing here, a small culvert extension to get a footpath across. That tip of connectivity, pretty simple, but it's will be very effective. We need to enhance, or we'd like to enhance safety. Currently, swamp way inventory length is a 50 kilometre zone. We'd like to make up to 50 kilometres, it's currently 60. I've challenged the user to find a main street in a township. There's more than 50 kilometres now at the moment. traffic calming measures in the main street itself and around the post box. I'll dive into a bit of detail on that in my last minute now. And investigate intersection functionality of Swamp Road. This large truck used that coming out of the coal stores in the quarry. They track over the centre line of the road. It's quite dangerous. They either drag their trailer over the car park in the church or across the centre line. So we've come up with some ideas there to fix that. And widening of blurb of the road for cyclists. Cyclists go up the hill there and cars can't get around them because of the blind corner. And the residents think that that's one of the worst spots in the hills for cyclists because it encourages motorists to probably take risks where they don't need to. So I'm focused here on the main street itself. So the both office up the top, you can see the state of the property surrounding the post office. One thing we don't want to do is touch local road, which is the IT road. So we understand that adds complexity and cost and time to anything we want to do. So we're maintaining that as it is. Got a real curved water table to provide parallel parking width only. It doesn't need to be divided. They don't have such space in front of the post office. There's that parallel parking in the blue. The brown is a corridor of street trees. So thank you. Creates a small boulevard. What's that? Creates a small boulevard. And create that passive traffic calming, three parking spaces between trees, and then try to bus park school pickups. We want to, there's an opportunity for us to serve the design with our tree pits, so we can brand and also treat stormwater in the road. We're getting off the road hard and soft landscaping out in front of the bus stops. We need to screen that property. We want to put vegetation in front of it. We need to usher the kids to stand in mid-term danger, you know, on the outside. I thought about connectivity and that little cobble extension, that's what it looks like coming in. Widening Swamp Road, we've got about a metre and a half of that centre line heading, moved out to the west, and we gained a bit of space to improve the street traffic. That's a little bit of the council reserve that's on the side of the creek. We'd like to clear out just the undergrowth so we can make it a bit of a public open space like a park. Probably one of our costs, we're fortunate enough to have some costs and making skills in our subgroup. We estimate about $28,000 for the works I proposed there, noting that the widening of the Bowerfield Road to the coal stores needs some containing. And
right, well, thanks.
You do get 5 minutes for the question.
Still slides, and I'm not talking much.
So there's not costing retaining walls in that, but about $280,000, and that's using current rates, which are quite escalated. I think this slide is home pretty hard for us in the community. This is what we face daily on our way to get bottled from the post office. And not only us, but this is what this is our district. It's not out of town, it's streets. It's our Lakers Council district face when they come up to that area. This is what it could look like.
All right, we'll finish on that nice slide.
That one.
Okay. So we do have 5 minutes for questions. Councillor Sissel, do you have a question?
Steve, just going back to the photo of the that property, when was that taken?
Oh, that's 2019.
Oh, 2019.
31.
Okay. Maybe, yeah. Thank you.
Anyone else had a question? Councillor Grant and Councillor Sullivan.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Smith, for coming in. You seem to have considerable expertise with your background.
My background, I'm a civil engineer. I've worked in local government and state government on infrastructure projects. Currently, I'm an engineer and civil consultancy. I'm working on their own projects.
And one more question, if I may. You mentioned this project focusing on the positives. How do you feel the communities responded to the development of this project?
We've had a lot of community buy-in with feedback and interest in our proposals. I think the response to the local positive, the community wants something to change here. It's a really important point for us, and we need to do something up with it. And the community response probably.
Councillor Sill.
Thank you, and thanks for the presentation. It's really good to see this sort of community-led issue. There's some really key concrete things that could be done. Is there something that's, you know, is there one of them that's the thing you'd like to see done first? As sort of the priority, a way to get the
mission going? If you're focused around the post office, I think that's sort of our critical point. But now I said that safety of the school kids is very important as well. So, like, probably connectivity would be one of our priorities, just to finish that off, and we could be equipment as well, could be something that we could tackle really. That said, we've probably being the scope of it and the size of it, we've said something practical, we didn't ask them for the world, we want to show might be what they want to do. Councillor Lunch.
Thank you. Yeah, look, $280,000 is a lot of money, but it's, I think it's definitely possible. I guess my question is, you speaking, I guess, as a community leader, do you think your community would be prepared to campaign at the state and federal levels to get funding for this, as well as local council?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Because I think that's it's going to need some more input from those levels of government as well as council.
Councillor David?
Yes, thank you for your presentation. Question. There is $150 million the government announced to Minister Christian Toners for upgrading transport systems in the Adelaide Hills. Have you looked at that as a possibility of getting some funds or working through?
Yes. Yes, we spoke to Transport and their project team probably about 6 months ago, and they started thinking about the projects. And we've planned what we want to do in that.
So you've made a written submission to them?
We have written to them, yes.
Yeah, good. In fact, I'm going to have lunch to the this Charlton. That property that we see on the screen now, it's an old photo. Is it much better now, and has progress been made to remedy that? It is a nice one.
Through you, Deputy Mayor, my understanding is that the staff have noticed an improvement since also those was issued last year. They say that there's still some more work to do, and the team's still progressing that.
Actively progressing that, you mean?
Yes, in amongst other enforcement, being the priorities that they're working on.
Is anyone who hasn't asked a question at times? Well, thank you for your very professional presentation. It's really great to see, and we do have a nice relation to your street later this evening, not too far away, actually. Okay, so we'll move on to item 9, presentations, of which we have none. We did have, under item 10.1, some progress update questions on notice from Mayor Wisdom. Does anyone have any additional questions in relation to that? No? We will then move to motions on notice. We have two motions on notice. The first from Councillor Selwood in regards to text or result, if you'd like to speak to your motion.
Yes, I would. Thank you. So this motion around textile recycling came from a resident in our ward, Gina King Sower and Anita, and she explained to me the difficulties of recycling textiles in our council area. The background and the agenda is quite thorough, so I won't go through all of that in detail. When I spoke to the administration, it was indicated that textiles are not necessarily a priority for a reduction of landfill at the moment. But I do think that if our residents are looking for sustainable ways to deal with their textile waste, then we should be looking at ways to address it, and we should be supportive of that. It's not just landfill that these textiles are going to, it's also impacting our op shops. And I've heard from numerous op shop volunteers that they get many donations of clothing and rags that aren't usable. And then they have to go through the process of trying to work out what is and what isn't and what they can sell, and then they have to dispose of it themselves. So it's actually a good burden on our community stores as well. We do know that if we make it easier for people to recycle, they do it. And at the moment, the barriers to recycling textiles in our region are really high. As the background states, many of the options that exist require a lot of effort by the residents. They have to go somewhere or pay someone or just go through a lot of effort to manage to recycle. So I think putting collection points that could be processed by other organisations could give us a really easy way to help our residents recycle their textiles without putting a burden on us or any other of our waste authorities. So the motion sends a request that the Adelaide Hills Regional Waste Management Authority have a look at how this could work. And it's a really simple motion that just shows the authority this is something we care about on behalf of the residents that have brought this to us.
Thank you. Someone like to second. Councillor Grant, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yeah, I'll speak.
bring the Deputy Mayor. I think this is a good initiative, being the new delegate to the Adelaide Hills Regional Waste Management Authority, and hitting the ground running last week with a full-day workshop, a meeting and a tour of Brinkley later in the week. I've had the chance to reflect on a lot of these issues, and certainly we've got to address the amount of waste we've got going to landfill. We're spending a full $10 million every year in the authority, most of which is involved in digging a hole and putting stuff in it. But what I will say is I think a larger strategy, and that's going to happen with the authority, to look at our options for reducing waste to landfill. Textiles are one of them. I circulated an email earlier in the week asking people, or inviting people, to make a submission to the federal government about improving a whole lot of means, and one of them is textile accountability for manufacturers, so that material that textiles coming out are more recyclable, more robust, more repairable, and not just junk that at the end of the day can't be used for anything other than filling up a hole in the ground. So I think this is a good initiative. The authority, and I'll be reporting back on this, will be looking at a whole lot of options for circular economy. But a lot of what we do is going to be having to be pushing up the pipeline, because we're receiving all this waste, 50,000 tonnes a year going to landfill. We're receiving that at the end of the pipeline. We've got to push to the top of the pipeline to stop a lot of this stuff being dumped on us, literally, at the end of the line. And only some of these things we can fix. Investigating textiles is a good start. But I will say, public demand isn't the only driver. It's got to be cost effective. And this investigation, of course, will tell us just that. Just on the side, the authority just looked at polystyrene recycling. It's so expensive, it requires so much handling, the facilities are so bulky. They said, no, we're better off burying it and putting efforts into other areas. Some hard decisions have to be made, because polystyrene, if it were to be recycled and reused, it justifies its existence. It shouldn't be made in the first place. And that's the sort of pushback we're going to have to give on some of these things. Anyway, I support the motion.
Do you, Councillor Chair, and Councillor Barr?
Thank you, Your Worship. As many of you know, I love my Patagonia T-shirts. One of the reasons I wear Patagonia T-shirts, especially the responsibilities, is they are 100% recycled cotton. And I've seen a huge surge in the popularity of social responsibility purchasing, as well as being a trendy person. I think that adds to my trend. So I absolutely support any opportunity that we need to have a look at our role in this. It's not just such a private enterprise. All as a government, we have a responsibility here. The other reason I was supporting this motion, I love it, is as a council in local government, we have some reach. Start conversations. We have many committees and organizations we work with and subsidiaries. We have such an opportunity to engage with people that can do. And I think this motion really highlights our role in it. And I'm really proud that we can have an influence and sparking a conversation and looking at what opportunities do exist.
Okay, Councillor Barton.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I obviously support motion. I'd just like to note that a couple of years ago, when I worked in government and creative industries team, Bastion was part of our sort of area of businesses that we looked after, and textiles and textile recycling was a topic of discussion. We were talking to Green Industries South Australia. They needed textile recycling and circular economy. So there may be some solutions there. We might not have to reinvent the wheel. In fact, I suspect we wouldn't have to. There may be funding there. There was also issues around understanding exactly what is in our textiles, because a lot of the cloth that is made in different parts of the world, and there's no labelling requirements. So it's often really hard to know what is recyclable and what isn't recyclable. So there's a whole bunch of potential issues there. So if you don't know what's in a textile, it's really hard to know which bits are recyclable. So there's a whole lot of labelling issues and as well around that as well. I would imagine that there would be people in government at the moment who have this will in hand. There is a new fashion industries association now in South Australia that was being set up, and they would be across this as well. Also, I've got the name of it, but there is a national fashion body as well that is run into this and has had this in hand and has had federal funding to put some form of dragging the stuff out of my memory. Now it's a couple of years old. So they have had federal funding to put textile recycling on the fashion map in Australia. So this stuff is happening. It's just a matter of us connecting in with the people who are doing it. So yes, that's a good pleasure.
Thank you, Councillor Boyd, you'd like to speak.
Yes, thank you, Acting Mayor. I agree with those who have already spoken, including Chris and Adrian. If you imagine a bathtub that's about to overflow, lots of people think to grab a ladle or a cup and spoon it out, but we really need to turn off the tap. And I think that it's a bigger question than what we hear, but we need to stop people's purchasing of the excess fashion. So there's more to be done in this area, but I totally support the motion.
Good. Anyone else like to speak to the motion? Councillor Selwood, right over to you.
Yeah, just briefly, thank you, and thanks to everyone who's supporting the motion. I think it can be really cost effective, and we don't have to reinvent the wheel. As Councillor Parkin said, in the agenda, there was an example of SEDR Group who have bins that look like the usual op shop donation bin, and they take anything, like their handbags, shoes, and any item of clothing, regardless of whether it's recyclable or not, and then they go through the process of dismantling and recycling. And there's already one of those at Golden Grove, and there's one at Atherston Primary School. So I think there's really easy ways for us to do it, and gives us the ability to partner with organisations like that. But that's really a matter for the Lakelands Regional Waste Management Authority to consider.
Thanks, Councillor Hearn. If you can take a seat, we'll get a vote on an item, and maybe not passing those.
Why not? Should have tried business.
So, the debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. It's carried unanimously. So, we'll move on to item 11.2. Now, Councillor Grunion has created a conflict. If you'd just like to restate that and exactly what your conflict is, thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. I am conflicted. I have a general conflict of interest because I'm currently the chair of the Lakelands and Forest Range Community Association. I've been involved in that group for over 10 years, either as secretary or chair. And for that reason, I'm going to leave the room and not participate in the debate.
Thank you. So would you like to move something in relation to the item?
Yes, I'd like to move as it was printed. Yeah, just let me have a look. But I'd like to add number 3, which is that the CEO promotes the Beautiful Fabrication Project to the Department of Infrastructure and Transport. With a view to
understand. Sorry.
Yeah, so with a view to undertaking a consolidated effort. To
further
the project.
Okay. Would you like to speak to the
motion? Yes, I would. I think we've heard from the lens of community tonight about how important this project is to them. And I think when we're having community-led initiatives, that's the best way for us to beautify our towns and do good placemaking. We all know about the issues that have plagued Lanswood, that, you know, Main Street is unsightly and it's none of the fault of the people who live there, but they have to deal with it every day and they want to be proud of their town, and I think we should support them being proud of their town. the proposal that they've put forward to us tonight does have some low-hanging fruit, I think, in terms of beautifying the town. But there's also some bigger long-term projects in the list. I'm not entirely sure that we can hit more in one go, but I do hope that we can start a work towards these initiatives. So the motion under point two calls for the cost to be considered as part of our long-term financial plan and budget planning process, which I think is a good opportunity for us to consider how we can move forward with this project. I've also added point three there as suggested by Councillor Herman by the passing of notes. And I think that's a good opportunity for us to partner with the state government to further this project in a way that doesn't just put the full reliance on council. So I can then motion.
Councillor Herman, you have a second. Yes, so I endorse that the motion is moved by Councillor Seward. Thank you for that and thank you for the presentation. Very good presentation. I think this has to be a joint effort, and I fear sometimes of having to negotiate with DIP. So it's opportunity time to start now. So the DIP fund should become available in one of our budgets, or what more than one, I would imagine, that we have some agreement with DIP. They will come to the party with the like the highway, the main road attachment, which is this responsibility to DIP. So make the start now, and we may achieve something. I agree, it's well, 280,000 is not a big project, but it's part of that which we're definitely not responsible for. But we do like Amy Gillard, or the government did with Amy Gillard, to chip away with stage one, and stage two, and stage three, and stage four. So there is a program to, at the end, we've got a competitive project over a number of years. Now, I hope that would be done in consultation with the community association so that what steps governments will take when they are on the side of the priority, I suppose, for the projects. Commend the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Cheetah, Councillor Martin, Councillor.
I'd like to, in addition to point this variation, which I hope you will accept. Shall I call the words?
Yes.
The summary of existing or future grant opportunities.
Do you slow down? Do we need it? Oh, actually, no, just read it down. Yeah.
The summary of existing or future grant opportunities, if any, be provided to council, which may assist in funding aspects of the development of beautification projects.
You just read that again, please.
That a summary of existing or future grant opportunities, if any, be provided to council, which may assist in the funding aspects. Or may assist in funding aspects of the eligible beautification project.
So before we put that into the motion, is the mover and second that have beautiful variation? Yes. Okay. So now if we say slowly, so we can get it recorded as part of the motion. Thanks.
Thank you. A summary of the existing.
Yeah.
Or future.
Yeah.
Grant opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah.
If any.
Yeah.
Comma. Be provided to council. Which may assist in funding aspects of the Landward Purification Project. We're going to play a grant on who's running this one.
Okay, is the mover and second the hacker of the seat leaving the meeting to accept the variation? Yeah. Okay, would you like to speak to the item now, Councillor Cheetah?
No, other than that, I think it's been summarised and I think the community's done the big work before us. And only this debate and making it quite straightforward. And this is the beautiful way the council works, where he comes to us and he brings the opportunities we put together, how we can progress forward, and we get into our future considerations. So,
thanks, Councillor Martin.
Thank you, Drew. Yeah, I obviously commend this motion, and I think it's fantastic. But and I'd like to point out that Lenswood is extraordinarily fortunate to have someone on their community association with the level of experience and knowledge that Mr. Smith has. Not all towns and villages in the Adelaide Hills are so fortunate to have someone with the expertise to not only develop a proposal like this, cost it, and present it to council in a way that, you know, is very professional and could in fact have been a member of our own staff presenting that. So I do support the motion, but I'd like to note that other towns in the Adelaide Hills also have reason to potentially want this kind of beautification. And I think we probably need to do something a little bit more comprehensive to make sure that we can balance all of this amenity. I will be bringing something a bit more broad ranging to council to suggest that we might do that for more places, not necessarily to this degree. But I agree this sort of proposal it should be part of, I agree, but I think it should be part of a broader plan. I support the motion. I think it has harks back to the Gumaraka Main Street project, which was extremely successful and was done, I think, in a series of sprints from memory, was very much driven by the community. And I hope that Lenswood gets a similar result. So I have the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Lodge.
Thank you, Anthony. Yeah, look, I support this as well. I guess the one point I wanted to make is that these sorts of proposals work really well at all levels of government when they come from the grassroots, which this one is coming from. And I think it has a lot of potential for being successful and attracting the funding from at least the state, if not the federal government as well, along with council. So I encourage you, I think you're going about it the right way, and I encourage other community groups to come to me and speak to me about these sorts of projects. You can come straight to the council and just say, be the main, but when you actually do some work and actually survey your community and look at what their needs are and what they want, it's so much more successful and it's so much easier for councils and state governments and federal governments to give support to this sort of thing, because it's quite clear that there's a groundswell of communities. So, thank you very much.
Councillor Sisco.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Through you, either late last year or early this year, I think, with a federal election imminent, we received an approach from the Federal Department of Infrastructure, I think, asking councils for effectively wishes. I can't recall whether we have signed off on that wish list. Perhaps through you, the CEO could assist.
CEO?
Deputy Mayor, yes, I will have a list, but also it doesn't mean that we can't resubmit this slide as a refresh. And that's what exactly we do.
Especially with a federal election just around the corner.
Yep.
All right, so would anyone else like to speak to the motion? No? Right on the bar?
Yes, thank you, and thanks for everyone's comments. I agree that we do need to be considering the broad range of the council area in terms of amenity. We have seen a number of these projects come to us, like the Woodside Main Street project, all those sorts of things, or the strategic plan. But I think Lenswood is a particular example because of the difficulties that township has had with some of the amenity issues they've got. So I do think this is a priority area in my mind. I also just want to remind people and maybe for the benefit of the gallery, we are in an item coming up tonight considering our grants process as we have been reviewing it. And one of the proposals that we'll be making a decision on tonight is that our grant streams would include tourism and township development. So it would mean that if that is successful, our existing grants will be more open to this type of activity, which is partly why I initially brought the grants review to council, was for that exact reason. So I think this is really great if we can move forward and start to look at this project.
Thank you. Debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Perhaps wait for Councillor Grant to return. Again, we won't be offended if you have enough of the council meeting for a night and would like to get home before it gets started. Okay, so we are now on to the administration reports, decision items. I would like to seek leave of the meeting to bring forward item 12.3, given we have someone in the center, particularly in the chamber. The interest on, do I leave the meeting to bring that item forward? Yeah, I do. So we'll now consider item 12.3, which is with respect to 22 Bright Road Sterling, the license for Sophie. Before we move anything, does the administration have any new information they'd like to provide to the chamber? Mr. Waters? Does anyone have any questions in relation to that? Yes, Councillor Selwood.
Yes, I haven't fully caught up with my emails today, but I did see that there's been some conversation around the Allgate Men's Shed, and I just was wondering if the administration has provided a bit of an update on why the men's shed thought that the site wasn't suitable
with me. Yeah, thank you. Mr. Waters. Thank you, through you, Deputy Mayor. So you recall back in the middle of last year, Council tasked the administration with going away and having a look at some potential sites for the men to help the men shed out. At the time they were looking, they were under, they thought they would have to vacate where they were at present. 22 Wright Road, the cottage there was one of those sites considered. We were coming back to give a workshop. I actually found the presentation for that a short while ago because we prepared a presentation to give it a workshop. But actually, just on the precedence of that, they advised us to be simply on that application at the time that they no longer needed council to consider any sites because they had secured on the government tenure at where they are at the Allgate Village. Well, and I understand that that's still the case. In the meantime, though, we had considered 22 Wright Road as an option for them. They, at the time anyway, were asking for a 200 square metre shed, which would be probably a bit larger than this room. They needed some additional car parking, and they needed exclusive use at least of the area that they were going to occupy at the time. I wasn't privy to the conversation, so I'm not sure whether we said to them it's not okay, or they said we don't think it's okay based on what we want. But the fact of the matter at the time was that based on what they were asking for, the site and our assessment was uncertain.
Thank you. Does anyone else have questions in relation to the item? Yes, Councillor Herman.
It's during the presentation, I was going to ask a question that I've asked to have the explanation. The word used was lease. There was no mention of the word license. Can you explain the difference to the chamber of what a lease and a license is?
Yes, I would. Through you, Deputy Mayor, in broad terms, a lease provides the holder of that lease or the lessee with a greater level of security and tenement exclusivity over the area that they've got, whereas a license permits a particular use for a particular occasion or activity. So we might license someone to use part of the lawns out the front of this facility for a certain period of time for a certain activity, whereas typically a building, you would have a lease over that building, and that means that person governs who comes in and out, whereas a license, the rest, you know, the site is still generally available for community use. So generally speaking, we look at leases, and that's the terminology we use for a building, and a license for outdoor areas.
And they can work hand in hand on one site.
Yes, they can indeed. We spoke last week without going into too much detail about another larger site council has in another part of the district where there's a, we talked about a lease over the building, a license over the grounds at that facility, so they apply. Yeah.
That's it. And Councillor Parker and Councillor Bunch.
I was actually going to probably ask a question about just the one that you were referring to. Is that the old Sterling Community Gardens? Is that the one you're referring to?
I don't need it unless it's relevant.
Yes, sorry, no, it is relevant. Okay. Because I remember when I sat on council, a similar arrangement was put in place. And what I was going to ask is how that arrangement has ended up playing out. So does the old Sterling Community Garden, they obviously have a lease over the house and the garden. And what are their responsibilities in relation to the house, and have those responsibilities been, I guess, acquitted? And I'm asking because it's potentially a similar kind of relationship in terms of responsibility.
Ms. Waters, I'll lay down today if you want. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. No, it's not the one I was referring to.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a confidential workshop, which is my hesitation in going through it in any further detail. But the old school community garden at the old Sterling S Prime School on Old Manor Barker Road, I would have to double check the arrangement for that. But I think you're correct because they have tenure over a building themselves. Yes. Essentially, they have a key. So they decide who comes in and out of that. Whereas the gardens themselves, the general public can walk through freely and make use of those grounds in in conjunction with or as well as the activities of the community, the community garden.
So it's a similar structure to what is in the option two, which is someone with Councillor Lunch.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yeah, look, I'd like to get the ball rolling on this one. There's been a lot of discussion. We've had a workshop on
it. So you're wanting to move something?
So I'd like to move option three, but I'd really like to add the words, I'm assuming we've got the words to option three.
So that are on the screen there.
Yeah, and I'd like to just add after in point one, after immediate surrounds, I'd like to add the words with a lease/license period of 5 years. And if you bear with me, I'll just speak to that. I am in a little bit of two minds about this with respect to other uses. I looked at the site a number of years ago and saw that it was vacant at the time and wondered why in a housing crisis we had a premises which was vacant for extended periods of time. And it was confirmed in the workshop that we held and also in the papers for this. The reason behind that is because this particular site was willed to the council in perpetuity in 1991, and the condition was that it be used for recreation use. And so therefore, having someone living in the house is not consistent with that. But having said that, I think it's really important that we have essentially a vacant building at the moment. It's been vacant for a number of years. And it's not being utilised to its fullest extent. We are stewards of our buildings and our lands and the properties that we have. And I think it's incumbent on us to make sure that things that are given to us for community use, for recreation use, are used to the fullest extent that they can. Sophie has come to us with a proposal. They've looked at it, they've done a lot of groundwork on it, they've bent over backwards, they've given deputations, done a lot of work on this, and are very much prepared to use it. I think the discussion tonight was about the issue of the length of the lease, and the offer was on the table to go out to community consultation and offer the possibility of having a 5-year lease/license instead of the 12 months. And I can understand as a community group, how you're going to invest $50,000 into something, you want to have a bit more certainty than just 12 months in using that site. I think this is a reasonable thing to do. Yes, there's been some discussions about maybe the community shed might be able to use it and things like that. However, my understanding, as was confirmed by Mr. Waters, that the community shed is no longer looking for a home, and they've managed to confirm that they can start their current location. I think we've got one thing on the table at the moment. We can go out to community consultation. The community says, no, we don't like this at all. It's a bad use. We should be using it more widely. We should have it dual use and things like that. Then we can consider it back. But I think this is a good middle course of action to go through at this point in time for this location. So I commend a motion.
Councillor Chair, then Councillor Park, and then Councillor Grant.
Yeah, Councillor.
I'd like to second it, but with a variation.
All right.
So just with the latest license period, so this license period of up to 5 years, just to make it clear that we're not consulting specifically on 5 years being the other option.
Yeah,
I do that. I'll leave the meeting to vary what we've moved. Okay, would you like to speak to the motion as a seconder?
No, I will not.
Okay.
I've got a question.
Sure.
Given some of the discussion that we had amongst ourselves and questions that were asked earlier this evening, is it possible to create a license that's non-exclusive? So if we were to grant this license to Sophie, could we grant a license to somebody else as well, so that the land can end up being shared should that be appropriate?
My understanding is that the proposal, although it was for option two, like my assumption is that's what we'll go out to consultation if this is accepted, is that the lease would sit over the house, so the exclusive use of the house, but it would be a license for the surrounding community land, which means other people could access that land as well, would not be exclusive use. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. However, I will just caveat all of that. This is the beauty of the consultation process, as well as that it does provide an opportunity to have further discussions with Sophie about their preparedness to share space if there are rooms in that building that they don't feel that they would occupy in another group, maybe only use them on different nights of the week or whatever. I'm sure they're conversations that we would have as we would in any scenario, but traditionally, most of the leases we have in place, the people who hold them are fairly regularly protective of their control.
Okay,
the follow-up
question?
I do have a follow-up question. Is it possible to have a non-exclusive lease?
Through you, Deputy Mayor, I guess I'd want to come back. I'm not a technical property expert, but at the end of the day, I guess whatever the will of the parties concerned are, we will find the mechanisms to make that work. So I'm sorry, I can't answer the question on the legalities of multiple leases over a particular area. You can certainly have tenants, and there's certainly arrangements that exist where you have multiple tenants in a building that occupy, you know, that happens in off. Share office spaces and the like, so that's certainly something that we could explore.
No, I don't expect yet. I'm just gonna have to think.
Thank you. Sure. All right, Councillor Grant, you're next. You still want to speak?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'm still trying to weigh out what to do in this situation, whether to apply for a variation to open wider community consultation for the users.
If you start debating, you cannot then move them into anything like that. So you could always wait to Councillor Hammond speaks and figure that out.
Yeah, I'll wait.
All right, Councillor Hammond.
I just have a question. Does the consultation that we proposed on the back need to requirements for a consultation policy and any other?
We have to, Councillor Hammond.
We have to be here as well. Right, thank you for that. Now, thank you for the answer. Yeah, I support this. I was in the pondery too, where the first cab off the rank comes in and they spot a piece of land, haven't been used for 4 or 5 years, and unused buildings fall into disrepair, as we all know. Initially, I was very strongly supportive of it, but then when the issues arose of should other community groups be given an option to put their or even see if they could have it as well. Now, I understand there hasn't been any active proposal since it's been voted. But on balance, I think this is a good outcome. If there are community groups, other community groups, that believe that they can occupy the site, they can put in the consultation period, they can put their views forward and they will be taken into account by the administration before they come back. If there is a lease, there's probably a sub clause in most leases that the lessee is unable to lease out of Portsmouth their property without the approval of the council or the staff. So the opportunity is in the standard lease that a group can sublease to another group. So I think that would, if there was a group that showed an interest, I'm sure that the council would support a shared use if we can board that. The head tenant would have to be the while. I think it has a number of benefits. And anyway, I'm very interested in seeing what the outcome of the community consultation is. But I do support the motion as written with the 5 years.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Chetty, you'd like to speak now?
I have a question.
Sure.
I had an understanding earlier, and I stand to be corrected, but was there some need for restriction around access to the aviaries to support the, I guess, licenses or allowances for somebody to operate in whatever they want to do?
That's awesome. Yeah, hopefully I'll get a knowledge from the gallery, but yes, you want to, and I realise the next question is, well, isn't that an exclusive use, but the footprint of the aviary, of course, you didn't want people going up to camp in the aviary, so the idea is to have a small excursion zone around the, directly around the aviary facility, which I think is 15 metres by 2 metres, 3 metres.
Is
that easy to run?
No.
Anyone else like to speak to the debate? Councillor Grant?
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to move amendment, if I may,
sure.
And the question was being on whether this is substantially different to the motion that's being put, and that is that that council simply undertakes community consultation.
So just in terms of, so you were then point two?
Yes.
Okay.
That the council understands, so delete all references to this specific proposal.
You would be suggesting the council undertakes community consultation
on potential community uses of 22 Wright Road, Stirling.
Yeah, the incentive is that's too big an amount.
All right. Can I move a formal motion?
Yes, you can.
So my formal motion is, that item 12.3 be adjourned until the 25th of May.
Oh, well, that's just, maybe you sent the wording through? Or?
The wording was provided to me, so.
Okay. I'll just wait until it comes up.
There we go. As it says, but I'll read it out for the people, the item 12.3 be adjourned until the 25th of March, that's 1 month, to allow council to have further discussions about the use of this site. And the reason, if I could speak to my...
You can only debate the timing of it returning to the chamber. You cannot debate the reason, which... Yeah,
I think that's an excellent length of time, Acting Mayor, for us to consider all the issues surrounding this matter and to make certain that members of this chamber are fully informed of the matter before them.
Do I have a seconder for the formal motion?
Go on.
Seconding the form?
Yeah, I'll second
it. So we have a seconder of the motion, noting that the only debate be in relation, the discussion be in relation to the timing of the adjournment. So unless anyone wants to contribute to that, I'll put the formal motion. Okay. So I'll put the formal motion. All those in favour, please indicate. Those against, the motion, the formal motion is lost. So we will now return to the debate. My understanding, Councillor Grant, is that, and I did check with Dr. Gill a minute ago, he'd moved a formal motion. She's found something different since that you can still speak to the item. So if you'd like to contribute to the debate and elaborate on what you maybe hoped earlier, you're welcome to do that.
Yeah, okay. So thank you. I'll speak to the item now. I think in circumstances like this, especially where it's only recently come to our attention that there may be some flexibility in the constraint of the trust to purely recreational facilities or activities. And I think in our discussions with the membership was referred to, whether they're still interested or not is neither here nor there. But their understanding was that the trust meant they couldn't have exclusive access. Now, if we've only recently discovered that there's probably there may be some flexibility there, it means to date we haven't really properly weighed up the potential of this site. And I think picking winners is probably not our role to serve the interests of the community best. We should open it up for public submission of community groups and other organisations to see which of them would best meet the strategic plan, the aims and objectives of this council, and use that facility used for the best possible use for ratepayers. So for that reason, I won't support this motion. I don't certainly don't oppose the intent, and I think it's a worthy cause, but I think we should have a good process. And I think if we were to approve this tonight, it would be an ad hoc decision because we don't know what else is on the table.
Councillor Cheadle.
A question in my fancy debate. It's probably going to be directed to the administration, but in terms of conducting this community consultation proposed in the motion, would you anticipate that it would take greater than 8 months to complete?
Through you, Deputy Mayor, realistically, it would need to also community engagement plan, the documentation that would take, when if we commence now on the virus last, so that will take us a couple of weeks. So realistically, you get it out in the middle of March, you've got for at least 3 weeks. As per our consultation policy, should take it probably in the middle of April. And you also get the seal and come back to that, and we'd return it to the chamber most likely in May for a decision.
Ask follow-up.
It's going to help them make the decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have any indication of any implications, delays to the Albarine and River Edge's project or have any grant fundings that Sophie has been provided?
Sophie indicated they're supportive of the consultation, so I think that's an issue.
Sure. There's a couple of pieces at play here. In my mind, we are also addressing a lack of an unsolicited proposal policy at the moment, and I've been having some conversations around that. So we're sort of in a predicament, I think, at the moment where we encourage our community to propose ideas and opportunities to utilise council assets. I think that's a really good thing because we've had many conversations recently about asset utilisation. So I really don't want to discourage these kinds of proposals by, I guess, knocking the flat. But it does highlight a little bit of work that we possibly need to do to make this a better process for both the administration, the chamber, and organisations like Sophie for these unsolicited proposals forward. In saying that, community consultation is a really good thing. I think it's an opportunity on something to a scale that is really important for us to engage with our community. I think we've had examples previously where many have done that particularly well. And we have been accused in this chamber of not conducting consultation well, if at all, on the issues that people do find are quite bringing into their life and existence in the hills. So, given the issue at hand, the lack of a policy on these bids and utilizing assets, I think it's a really good opportunity for us to talk to our community and understand it's a bit of a unique project that we don't have history with working on projects like this. And I think it's really good for us to demonstrate that we're willing to take the time to understand the community needs while in the coalition.
Councillor Selwood, then Councillor Parkin.
Yes, thank you. I just want to address some comments made by Councillor Cheadle and Councillor Coran. Yes, you know, this is an unsolicited bid, but I think it's really great when our community sees something that's not being utilised and find a use for it. actually think that's really positive. And I think this is the best next step to go out to consultation. If there are other options on the table and other community groups want to use it, they can use this consultation to tell us. I think it will all come out in the wash. So I think this is a really good way forward, and I think it's a good compromise with Sophie to look at the 5 years to be able to find a way forward that works for all parties, and it gives our community an option to have some input. So I think there's nothing wrong with this motion.
Councillor Barton.
Put a bit of thought into this, but actually I think I now agree with Councillor Selwood. I remember when we were renting out the house on that particular property, and I know probably a woman kind of dogs around there, and the first time when that rental ceased, I remember going up there with Council Paul, do you remember, and we had walked around, we had a look at it. And for me, there's some confusion because I remember the reason being given, but the reason it wasn't being rented was at the time around the house being up to code and the amount of money that councils would have to spend on the house. So it feels to me like there has been various different reasons given over the years around why that piece of land hasn't been used. And it now seems that suddenly all those reasons have gone away quite quickly, which feels odd to me.
The report does outline some of those restrictions. Very clearly.
Oh, this current report, I'm sure.
The same restrictions that you indicated just then about them, like being able to have.
Okay, so they are in there. Okay. What I was referring to a number of years ago, though, wasn't the reason we were given back then, and I may be recalling incorrectly, but I don't think I am, were not around recreational versus rental use. There were different reasons. So the point that I made about various different reasons being given still stands, I believe. Having said that, I think earlier in the debate we pointed out that sometimes the lack of a policy becomes apparent, and it takes situations like this and then other issues raised earlier means that we do need to have one. And I agree with Councillor Sheeter. I think this is an opportunity for us to revisit this. I would support the motion. I will be very keen to see the consultation look at shared use if other community organisations put their hand up. Sophie have said that they have no real particular burning need for the house, but it would be useful to them. That's correct. So I think that there may be some opportunity for shared use. And if that is possible and if there is interest from the community, I think we should explore that. So I support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barton. Anyone else like to speak to the motion? Ready to wish for the question? Fire away.
Question to Councillor Cheetah.
I'm not sure you think.
All right, that's a question to whoever would like to answer. Is the Chamber aware that the Audit Committee has requested a review of Council's approach to unsolicited proposals?
They are now.
And any recommendations being brought back to the Audit Committee? That's my. Is the Chamber aware of that? You said they are now? No, I'll speak to it.
That was not a question, but anyway, it's currently outside the scope of the decision. Just bearing in mind, I think that's a separate discussion, but in the month we do need to have. Anyone else like to speak? Councillor Lunch?
This is my role.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to attempt this one. This debate, to a certain extent, and I can understand what people's concerns are to a certain extent, but it does remind me of an old tale that a service friend of mine said about when you go to the quartermaster to get something out of the quartermaster's store, and the quartermaster's retort is, you can't have that because someone else might want it. It does sort of remind me of that to a certain extent, because we're sort of saying, well, you know, we haven't got a policy, so therefore you can't have it because someone else might want it and stuff like that. I think it's been made clear to me, at least, from Mr. Waters's response to some of the questions, that this site wouldn't actually be appropriate for the men's shed because it doesn't have enough parking. They want a site for 200 square metre shed.
And having been to the site, I don't think there's room for a flat area with 200 square metres. So I don't think it's necessarily appropriate for that particular use of it. I think we have a proposal on the table. They have proposed it. They've sort of compromised and actually said we have to go out for community consultation. Just on the issue of unsolicited proposal policy, do we actually have, we're actually considering the procurement policy update tonight. And there is actually some stuff about unsolicited proposals in there. And
it's just,
yeah, it does have some criteria in that. And the assessment that was made as part of the report was actually pretty much against those criteria. It came up with a tick for everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Please, against, that is carried. Thank you for coming on, presenting your views, and hopefully you are happy with the elected body's outcome. We'll try to move through a couple of items before having a break. But I do just want to point out, I was a little bit lenient in terms of the debate, but let's try to focus on the decision that we're actually making and not branch off onto a range of other matters. They're important discussions, but let's try to keep focused on what we're deciding on tonight. Okay, so we'll be back to item 12.1, which is the review of grant giving policy and grant programs. Ms. Charlton, do you have any new or additional information you'd like to change? So I'd like to move something in relation to that. Councillor Osterstoff.
I'll move the recommendation, Mr. Brindle.
You'd like to speak to it?
No.
Councillor Parkin, you'd like to second?
Yes.
You'd like to speak to the item?
Question?
Sure.
Page 122. Question about the policy itself.
My move to Councillor Selwood, and then I'll go on to speak and come back to you. Councillor Selwood.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to firstly thank the administration for joining us on the review. It would start from a motion that I brought to reconsider what we were doing. And I think what we've ended up with is a really positive example of how we can incorporate the strategic plan into our grant, but also look at better ways to support the community and what they're trying to do in their community. And I think Lansford was a good example of that tonight. So I think this is an excellent change to our grant giving policy, and I'm really pleased that we got to this point, and I think that's due to the excellent work done by the administration.
Okay, Councillor Murray, would you like to
see? Okay, I think it's important for us to review our grants giving policy to ensure that it aligns with the council's values as expressed in our new strategic plan, and I'm very pleased that we were able to do that. And I think this policy contains important clarifications and additional priorities of building community capacity, identifying and responding to the needs of marginalised communities, build heritage and history, as Councillor Selwood has already mentioned. Tourism and township development was what Councillor Selwood already mentioned in previous discussions. Art projects other than just public art. So I think it's really clear that we are looking for more than just community halls and more than just sports clubs to upgrade sports clubs and to buy, cricket bats and things like that. And we actually want and we are soliciting applications for grants that fit into a wider criteria that aligns with our strategic plan. The other thing I really like about the policy is it talks about regular reviews of the grants amounts to ensure that they maintain their purchasing power for recipients. What can happen is the value of grants remains the same, and as CPI goes up, the value of those grants is eroded, and the amount of effort you have to put into getting the grant just doesn't make it worth it, and that can be a problem. And I suspect that's possibly one of the problems we've had with our heritage grants in the past. I think importantly, there is no recommendation at this time to increase the total grant amount in real terms, because as we all know, we have some challenges in our budget at the moment, and we need to be prudent. So we have significant budget pressures, but I think it is has been a very good review, and I really appreciate the opportunity to have some input at the workshop that we had on this one, and I commend the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Hannon, you've got a question now?
No, I apologise if you answer. I didn't have the problem with my computer.
Sorry, what's your question?
Oh, well, my question is on page 122. Towards the bottom states the process for decision making may vary across grant streams, and they include council resolution based on the recommendations of an assessment panel. I'll hardly support that. One that I want more information on is all by decision of administration staff vested with the authority. So the question needs to be CEO or you mean?
My understanding is that would be in relation to grants such as the youth grants, like that doesn't come through the chamber, but is that correct? Yeah, that's correct.
Administration staff, it doesn't say what level. There's a level, I would imagine, to an assessing officer, and then go to someone else. So.
Is there a particular threshold or a way that that's decided?
They're normally done on recommendation to the manager or the director of the area, and that's correct. They're for our monographs and these grants where the amount is about 100.
Yes. That's fine. As long as I understand, they're prepared by an officer to a senior officer. Can I do the debate?
Of course, you can.
Yeah, right. So, the debate, I endorse what's happened, but though I am a bit disappointed, although I acknowledge. Councillor Mavish's view on the money, but we're opening the net a bit wider and encourage more applications in. We're then channeling $5,000 into a couple of areas, which means community development grants, the bigger pool, is effectively being reduced. I'd like to still see that issue debated at the annual business plan workshop. So, this doesn't prevent back to Matthew about the quantum of the community development grants.
No, it does. No, specifically, no. The referred budget processes and use the data we don't set.
So, whilst I still got the first dollar I ever earned, then I might have to consider how we deal with that at the workshop. Those for you.
Thanks, Councillor Hammond. Did anyone else like to speak to this item? Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. Just very quickly, thank you to staff for preparing this. I think it's an excellent policy. It just ensures that the expenditure of ratepayer money through grants is transparent, it's accountable, it's competitive, and grants are acquitted. Council has acknowledged. It ticks all the boxes of accountability and transparency. So, give me the motion.
Would anyone else like to speak to the item? Councillor Self, you need to write a reply.
No.
In debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We move on to item 12.2, and then perhaps take a short break after that. So, reconciliation action plan, Ms. Charlton. And there were some minor changes that you circulated earlier by email. Would you like to just outline them in case any elected member has not had the chance to read that email?
Absolutely, yes, through you, Mayor. There were largely sort of three changes made. So there were just a couple of sort of minor formatting changes made in sort of two areas. More notably, we did update the acknowledgement of country at the beginning of the document. So when the document was finalised and provisionally endorsed by Reconciliation Australia, it was prior to council updating our country policy. So we've just done some last minute conversations with Reconciliation Australia today, and they've confirmed that for us to change that wording alignment to the new voting in our policy.
Thank you. Councillor Martin, would you like to move something in relation to that?
Yes, we'd like much great pleasure. I'd like to move this as council's representative on the
Lake Hills Reconciliation Working Group, if it's any practice to move this.
Just before you speak for the debate, yeah. I do want to ask governance, with the current wording, it doesn't allow minor changes, it just references Appendix 1, but we need to add maybe 0.3 from there. By just that move, so make it implementing.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just want to make sure that those changes can actually be.
Look, I will make a point about that because I actually did identify the issue with the acknowledgement of country wording, I will just explain one of the issues. First thing I'd like to do is just thank council staff and particularly in Griffiths for the enormous amount of work that's gone into developing this plan. Reconciliation Australia, who are sort of, I guess, the owner of the whole process and intellectual property of these sorts of plans and encourage them, are a hard taskmaster. I believe we went through something like about 5 different revisions of this plan before they actually endorsed it. And so when some minor changes were identified, I was a bit reticent to actually come up with them again because go back through the process. But I'm pleased to hear that we actually go back to Reconciliation Australia and they did very quickly approve the change to the acknowledgement of the country at the beginning of the plan. This plan is an incredibly progressive piece of work. I believe one of the best reconciliation action plans by a local government body in Australia. It has a number of actions in it, which thing that I really like about them is that they actually are assigned to staff members to actually go and push. It's been put through the Reconciliation Working Group, Adelaide Hills Reconciliation Working Group. Many times before consultation. It's been a really good sort of process for development. I really like pictures of it as well, and I believe even Reconciliation Australia wanted to have some say on some of those pictures as well, which is an interesting thing. I think it's a really good document, and I will be very proud to actually take this document and push it out there to the number of groups that have sprung up in the hills since the voice referendum, and actually point that to how well this council is doing in this area and how progressive we are and how we are engaging our community and how we plan to engage our community, our First Nations community in the future. So I commend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Grant.
Yeah, if I could second the motion,
of course,
and speak to it. I certainly agree with Councillor Lamage. I'm surprised by the quality of the report. It's just superb. I really had no understanding of what this process would involve, let alone what would result at the end of it. I guess I expected there might be some more lightweight actions, but it's jam-packed full of concrete actions, which I really like. I love the content of the report. It's just incredibly informative and well-written. That part by Deanne Hanchin-Nichols, is it? I just thought it was fantastic. I haven't read anything like that about the Adelaide Hills. I think everybody should read that living in this area. But just the simple things like restating our commitment to flying the Aboriginal flag, our acknowledgement and welcome to country, place name initiatives, NAIDOC Week, and I've been elected members who all get involved in activities like that, and cultural learning activities. There's so much identified in there. It's an enormous body of work. And an enormous body of work, obviously, is hard to try and succeed everything in there, but it's great. It's aspirational. I just think it's fantastic work, and I'm really, really proud of that. staff have produced such a fantastic report. So, yeah, commend the motion.
Councillor Boyd.
Thank you.
And Councillor Selwood.
I've got a question before I answer the debate, if that's okay. I just wanted to find out what the plan was for reporting progress back to council and how often we would find out about where we're up to and things like
that. So it does say annually. I think for the administration it's quarterly, and for us it's an annual report. Is that correct?
Yes, that sounds correct. I won't say what everybody else has already said, but I totally agree with everything that has been said so far. When the local primary school was putting together their RAP, I was on the committee that was helping develop that. And I was only on the committee for the first 12 months and we got through hardly any of it. So I know how much work is involved and how much thought goes into each action and the reasoning behind it and why it's so important. So I really do commend the administration for that. But I just wanted to also a plea to council that we fund the implementation of this project, because we have known that the actions under our RAP have not been well funded in the past, and I think it's up to us to make sure that we're giving the administration the tools they need to be able to actually implement what we've got here, because it is an ambitious but excellent piece of work and we need to make it happen.
Thank you, Councillor Sewell. Councillor Hannon.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple of questions. I couldn't point out exactly where I put them, but they're around page 145. The question is, did the panel at all consider a role for lobbying governments, particularly local government in this area, about getting more of Aboriginal representation on the council? And was that considered?
How to take that on with this?
Oh, thank you. Second question is Harmony Week, which is held in Raka and was a very successful event, has ceased to be held, but it's been replaced in a very different form, which the blokes didn't take that well.
Is this in relation to this island?
That's in relation to this island. I was still disappointed.
What's the question?
The question is, would there be any consideration to reverting to a permanently next year?
Through you, we have taken a different approach this year. We do a range of harmony activities across the council area, and I have provided an update that would speak about what we've got in place. And so we have to take feedback for us to consider for future years.
Thank you. Further question. Was there any consideration given to the panel being involved in identifying Aboriginal sites in the council area? Well, that may have been that sort of question.
Do you mean the working group?
Yes.
I think there are some generals in the plan around doing cultural mapping and identifying sites.
Thank you. And I did have a question about reporting from France. That's been asked. Thank you.
Anyone else like to contribute to the debate?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yeah, thank you everyone for your inputs into this debate. I guess one thing I would like to point out, Councillor Brunner mentioned it, was that Deanne Hunt Panshaw Nichols, who I have formed a friendship with in my time on the Aboriginal Reconciliation Working Group. She's one of the founding members, one of the original members of that group. She is a Hills treasure. She was actually one of the runner-ups for the Citizen of the Year, our Citizen of the Year award this year. She's definitely someone, if you get an opportunity to have a coffee with and talk about Aboriginal history of our area. Part of her background is Ngarrindjeri, I believe. I can't remember the other. She's got sort of Aboriginal heritage on two sides of her family. She's a real treasure, and I think it's worth acknowledging with her input into this, in particular, of all the members on the Reconciliation Working Group. I guess the only thing that I final comment I want to make is this is a really good document. And it does not take away from anything about European history in our council districts as well.
it's a really positive thing they're doing here. I can motion.
Thank you, Councillor Button. All those in favour, please indicate. It is carried unanimously. I have to agree, an incredibly impressive piece of work. I'd like to see it endorsed tonight. Now, we like, Dean, we like to move a short adjournment, so...
let's keep going. I'd say, still 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes, okay. Great, thank you.
Councillor Boyd, second that. All those in favour, please indicate. So we'll come back at 8:44. The CSF review commissioned by Sacred Places and Life of the Refuges. Is the order to give any information to provide?
No,
no,
not at all.
Thanks, CA. Councillor Parkman, you'd like to move something in relation to
this? Yes, I'd like to move the alternative motion if I can.
So I can't put a conflict.
Yes, sorry, you did flag that earlier. Sorry. Yeah, so for this other conflict, Councillor Sheena.
Yeah, I'm an officer member of the CFS ground, so they are here on interest.
And Chamber, thanks. And Councillor,
I'm hoping to be hearing a general topic since I'm a deciding member of the Burke CFS. Burke does commence with the report. Burke with Park did commence with the report of the CFS. I believe I can vote for their bias.
Thank you. So, Councillor Park, you indicated you'd like to move something different to it.
Yes. I would like to move part one as printed. Part two, that the council negotiate with the CFS for an extension. The council requests an extension from the CFS for the delivery of this report to allow council the time to ensure that it accurately reflects community concerns.
To accurately.
The time to ensure it accurately reflects community building concerns on bushfire safe places and places of last resort. And I'd like to speak to my motion if I could, and to remove point three
is
point.
The extension for CS for AAT's response to the.
Yeah, the AAT's response is probably better.
Yeah, thank you. To the CS, like I'd use the word point three to the CS survey to push my places.
Yes, thank you.
Regions. So if you just copy two, three refuges.
We can work out a date. I think it's important.
Sorry, it's not sensitive. Then remove the delivery of this report. Right, two, yeah.
To ensure the report accurately reflects, probably to ensure the report
submission.
This submission.
Just before you think of that, could I ask Mr. Waters, what is the current deadline? How quickly?
Mr. McArthur, Deputy Mayor, I think it's in the report there somewhere. I'm just struggling.
I think that's in the
pen. Yeah, it's not, it's imminent. So there's not another council meeting between now and deadline. So you would have to seek an extension if that's the word for China Coon from the ego of this lawyer. Okay.
All right, we'll move forward on this in the secret. So Councillor Barton, you'd like to speak to the motion.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm really glad that this submission is being sought. I think many of us will remember the confusion around bushfire safe places and what they actually meant and the services they actually provided, and the confusion between last resort at the end after Kelly Creek bushfire. There is confusion. And I think it's really important that we look into that with a view of providing better information. And at the time, I remember advocating for even like a state waste standard. What is the bushfire safer place anywhere in Australia and not just here? We don't have that. And so it is confusing. So that's why I think it's really important that this kind of feedback is being sought. My concern around the report is that in certain parts of it, and I'd like to draw your attention to the piece on, just on community concerns, and community feedback.
So what page number? Just so we can research it.
It's in the appendix. What concerns issues are frequently asked questions have community raised about bushfire last resorts? It goes sort of town by town, a bit further up as well. But I think often the community have asked for greater clarity, they've asked for better signage, and they've asked for actually an increase in these areas rather than a decrease. After the last bushfire, the council administration made the decision to close council buildings on catastrophic days in bushfire safe places. That's not noted in the report, and that wasn't a decision of council, that was an administrative decision, and the community were not happy about it, and they remain unhappy about it. That's not in the report, and I think it should be. I think in bushfire safe places, if they're going to be safe, they need to have safe places, public places for the community to come to with their children on a catastrophic day. So if Stirling is a bushfire safe place, and we're saying to people, come here with your kids, there needs to be somewhere safe for people and the kids to come. And the only place is the library. And if that's closed, there's not a bushfire safe place for the family. So that's not clear in the report, and I feel that that's actually been glossed over a little bit. And I think those key points should be in there. What is a bushfire safe place, and what services is it providing? When Stirling and Woodside, this is close there as well, were designated as bushfire safe places, they were just bushfire safe places with publicly available council buildings for people to go on those days. They're now bushfire safe places with no publicly council available buildings for people to go on those days. And that's not clear in the report. So those changes have been made, and they've been made without consultation by community or resolution by council. And that needs to be very clear in that report. And it's not. And there's been other concerns about, I guess, mostly services and provisions provided around bushfires and, bushfire safe places, what kind of transport there is. There's been suggestions around buses, community evacuations. All of these things have been raised by community, and they're not in the middle of the war. So they should be. So for that reason, I'd like to defer this just so that we can make sure that some of those concerns that have been raised by community members and by elected members of council, and we're elected to raise issues on behalf of the community, are actually being met because all of those concerns were raised. So, I hope I get a seconder and commend the motion.
And before I move to the seconder, I do feel that generally that it did express that community had an expectation of these services at safer places and last resort, whereas that is not the case. It's not a criteria for those types of places. And they shouldn't be used in certain circumstances. However, I do know you were talking about specific aspects of that. Councillor Boyd and Councillor Selwood.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like to second this motion. I think we needed to go even deeper than we already had. It is alarming for me to see that the size of the Stirling area is not seen as being big enough to be a bushfire safer place. I think that if we weren't to use the Stirling area, then it would just be more congestion for people to get down the freeway. I also am very concerned that we don't have the library open. And like was mentioned by Councillor Parkin, this was not a council decision, it was a staff decision. Those staff are no longer with us here. So I think the library needs to be readdressed. There was a comment about the library saying, which staff would you like to put in danger for us to open the library?
That's just our topic, thanks.
Okay.
So we're talking about a submission to the CEO to safer places.
Yeah, and also regarding our last resort areas, I think we need to have more. I don't think we have enough. I think that we should seriously contemplate using places like the Allgate Oval. And I know that if the Stirling isn't the bushfire safer place, then should definitely be using the Stirling Oval as a last resort refuge as well. So I do support this motion. Thank you.
Councillor Sill.
Yeah, I've got a question.
Sure.
If
this motion were to pass and we were not granted an extension, would then we be left with no ability to make a submission to the RIT? Yeah. And if we are not able to submit to this, then that means that potentially none of our options would be considered as part of this review.
I'll defer to the administration if they have any thoughts on the likelihood of an extension, because, you know, if we're not granted one and I'm willing to consider it outside of that, then yeah, we would have no say. But I don't know if Mr. Waters has any thoughts on the likelihood of that, Karen.
Through you, Deputy Mayor, I guess the correct answer is I don't know. We've had reasonable success in the past when council has sought extension to the time for submissions to various government agency consultations, so we may be lucky again. I think it's probably fair to say that we have a really good relationship with the CFS, and I think they welcome our feedback on this matter at any time, but clearly they're running a process that they're trying to work certain timelines. So you know, it's obviously up to the chamber as to what you want to do. If you want to seek the extension, we'll ask them tomorrow if that extension can be granted.
I guess something that, you know, maybe what you're about to say, that the other additional point of the amendment, that should an extension not be granted at that basis.
Yeah, that is exactly what I was about to say. I'd like to add a point for the amendment, please. I'd like to move an amendment that point for any. That's at the end of that. Oh, yes. Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah.
Would you like to speak to the amendment?
I think it's really important that we have some input to this, and I'm concerned with the existing motion that we couldn't get that opportunity entirely, and that is worrying to me. I do take on board some of the comments around the concern, but I think there is really good stuff in it, and I think being able to adopt it, if we're not granted that extension, then gives us that input. So I think it's really important to give the administration that direction so that we don't miss the deadline and have no input.
Thank you. Would someone like to second the amendment? Councillor Grant, would you like to speak to the amendment?
I think that's a sensible amendment, although I suspect the original motion wouldn't preclude the submission being made if there were no other option, and I just makes it clear.
Yes. Anyone else like to speak to the amendment? Councillor Murch.
Before I speak, if I speak on the amendment,
you can say to speak to
Look, I oppose the amendment. At this point in time, the proposal is such that I will not support the repeat. I think it is unbalanced. So I don't think we should just go ahead and put it forward. An alternative would be for anyone of us as members of the public to put a submission in, and all of the same material would go in and just wouldn't have the full imprimatur of the council. So I think that's an alternative. The material is not lost in that sense. You can put all of it in or any part of it as well, only the bits you agree with. So that's a possibility. So it would be still submission if us wouldn't have a full endorsement of the council. So I don't support this amendment because I could not support the submission in the form that it is in the moment. And I'll talk to that anyway.
All right. Does anyone like to speak to the amendments? Councillor Herman?
Yes, I was prepared to support the original motion with some editorial. But just looking at the report that I saw, talks about the bushfire safe zones and the...
So we're just talking to the amendment, which is about even extension by Brian.
Yeah, I don't believe that the extension is warranted, because I believe the original proposal and report that we have is sufficient to go in. Or maybe everything that I was expecting to come out a little bit. So I will not be supporting the amendments.
Okay.
All right. So anyone else like to speak to the amendments? Okay, I'll put the amendment. All those in favour, please indicate. Those against? The amendment is lost. So we'll go back to the original motion. Who would like to speak to the Councillor Mudge?
Yeah, just furthering on my comments before, I'm not happy with this current form. I agree that there should be some sort of submission, and what's important is the material that's in that submission, but I'm not happy with it at the moment. My main concern is that it does have a tone to it at the moment that we actually are not even happy with the number of bushfire safer places and last resort refuges, and we actually want to decrease them. And I think that's the wrong sort of approach, because it goes against the overwhelming community feedback that I've had in my 6 years on council. There is overwhelming, from my perspective, members of the public approaching, saying that we should have more safer places. We should have more last resort refuges. In my time on council, the Milo community has campaigned and been successful in getting a bushfire, a last resort refuge at the Oval, and they put a lot of effort at times with sacrifice, because actually the last resort refuge actually meant there was a limitation on some of the things that they could do at that site. There's also a number of errors and statements which I don't think are correct and don't reflect accurately what I think we should be saying. Things like, for example, there's just factual errors, things like that Milo Oval is owned by the community. It's not owned by council. It's rented, it's leased to the community, and that's just a factually incorrect error. I pointed out on page, I think it's 210, final paragraph. It says that there is messaging that it's best to leave the hills entirely during bushfires, times of high and fire danger. I don't think that's the messaging that is put out. I think messaging is during times of high and fire danger and bushfires, you go to a bushfire safe place, and some of those areas are in the hills. And so therefore that's where you should remain on the catastrophic fire danger day. So I don't think that's correct. There's actual errors. I just don't like the tone of it in general. And it doesn't reflect what I think the community have been saying to me in my entire time. Both the time that I've been on council and even before the time I was on council, there is a real what do you call it? A want, a requirement, a need from the community for more options on catastrophic fire danger days, high fire danger days, and when bushfires are actually occurring, not reducing that down. Some of the stuff in here is really good, and some of the specific comments on particular bushfire safer places and last resort refuges and the signage and the colours on the website, I think that's really good stuff. But there are also bits which I strongly agree with, and at this point in time, I can't support it. However, I do agree it's something that it's really important that we have probably the most fire danger affected area in all of South Australia, if not Australia. We should be having an opinion on this. But at the moment, this document, this submission, as it is at the moment, is not something I could support. However, I think there is a way forward, and that is to request an extension and to perhaps have a workshop to actually try and get it to reflect what the community, this council, actually what the message would want to do.
Thank you, Councillor Martin. Councillor Sell, would you agree?
No question, sure. So what would the administration's proposal be if we advance an extension in order to make sure that it accurately reflects community feeling and concern? What would that look like, potentially?
Snorters or CEO?
It's a very good question, Debbie Nan, because whilst we haven't had time or process to implement itself, going out and seeking community feedback through an open community engagement process, One of the inputs into the draft response there was community input that we've received through phone calls, customer requests, our own interactions through our community resilience programs, and otherwise that we've engaged with the community. So a number of staff have been involved in this. We had a consultant that was put it together as well, and the feedback we've presented here is the feedback we had. It also included, I think 3 weeks ago, I sent out an email inviting council members to give us feedback into this, and it incorporated whatever feedback we received. So to answer the question as to how we would get further community input, I guess the sense I'm getting from those who are making that argument in the chamber tonight is that they are looking to provide input as they see it, as they are receiving it from the community, from the constituents, which is fine. And I would suggest, as the shop discussion, we do that, because if we get an extension, they might give us a month or so, but that's not going to be time to run a, you know, I don't think it's our place, because remember, this is a public, you know, I believe, if John might be able to nod his head or show this, but I believe this is a an engagement that the CFS are running out into the community. So this is our council's submission, and council has a role to reflect the views of its community, but also provide the leadership role in this team.
Thank you, Mr. Waters. Anyone else like to speak to the motion?
Question? Yeah, this is a genuine question. In the notes under OPEC, I get the impression the statement reads, if the CFS was wanting to reduce the number of BSPs in their budget, is there a feeling that they want to reduce the number? Just that comment that implied to me, and I'm not understanding.
Yeah, through you, Deputy Mayor. No, the CFS hasn't come out with an agenda either way over this. However, it has come up in discussions previously around, so after the Cutley Creek fire and other fires we've experienced, we certainly have had people say to us, should Woodside have been a bushfire safe place, should Lomethal, because they weren't very pleasant places for people to be, regardless of whether certain facilities were open or shut. Nevertheless, they didn't, far from a little bit on the fringes, they didn't burn. Okay, so, and we've made those comments within there that they actually performed their function. But we certainly have heard concerns raised by people around, you know, who didn't enjoy being in those places when an actual fire came through.
Thank you, Mr. Waters. Would anyone else like to contribute to the debate? Councillor Grant, you seconded the amendments. You can't speak.
Ah, sorry.
Thank you. So this is my original amendment that I'm now speaking to. Excellent. Thank you. So thank you for the debate. It's been really interesting. I also would like to mention that there's a lot of really excellent things in this report, and I agree with most of it. I just don't feel that it accurately reflects some of the community views that I've heard. And I just think that if there is an opportunity for there to be a submission, it needs to accurately reflect that. I take the point about Lomethal and Woodside not being very pleasant places to be, but they are with five favourite places. We also know that only 50% of people in Adelaide Hills actually leave their homes on that catastrophic days. So we arguably, even if they're not pleasant, still need safe places for people to go to. Otherwise, they're easy to get to. Otherwise, you might find that even less people leave their homes on you know, catastrophic days. So it's a complex issue, and I feel that we need to, I don't have an issue with the broad content of this, but I do think that there has been some varied community feedback on particularly access to community buildings in council areas on catastrophic days in bushfire safe places, other issues about marking of bushfire safe places, those sorts of things. And I think that probably needs to be in there because it's genuine community concern. And it was something that we debated heavily, you know, a couple of years ago now. So it concerns me that it's not. I feel that it should be. I'm fairly certain that the CFS will give us an extension. I would like notification if possible when that extension is asked for. If we can have that copy into that, that would be terrific.
And then I look forward, hopefully, to a workshop so that we can make sure that all of the news that we've heard from our community, even if it's through a terrible fire, can be put forward and heard as much as possible. So I commend motion. I think it's really important that we get this report right as you can. Thank you, sir.
Debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. It's carried unanimously, and we'll invite Councillor Cheetah back into the room, please, and move on to the next item. So 4.5, road safety analysis, level of the disorders. Do you have any new or additional information to provide to the chamber?
No, I don't.
Some other move, some of the information. So Councillor Hammond, would you like to move as printed?
Yes, I'll move as printed. I'll speak to it. I'm probably running this for Councillor Huxter, because the original motion that I moved was hers, but she was unable to be there all night. But I do know the area well. So, comprehensive transport study has been undertaken, and there were recommendations that flowed from that. But as usual, if we can do something, there's a cost attached to it. So the recommendation is both of them that we to consider, not that's the word, to consider the funding of the traffic control calming devices and the union crossing near the school in the process of considering the budget for the next year in March. The inland consultation, I thought it might be useful with the Wodathorpe Community Association people were contacted in regard to what is proposed.
Do you mean the budget consultation?
I think perhaps the outcome of this meeting and the reports should be given to them now so that they can have input into the budget, so to give them fair warning of what's on the table. At the moment, they don't know what's on the table. Unless someone happens to pick up the attendant. So I won't move that, but I will like to see that happen at the community association advised of the council decision. And I understand that the background papers would be available if necessary. Again, it's a budget item, but then you've got to balance budget and connect safety. And that's a very difficult decision to make. But that's not a decision for tonight, that's a month away. And Mr. Waters might be here. So I commend the motion.
So I second the motion. Councillor Graham, would you like to speak to it?
Are you just briefly? I think the report certainly revealed that the reservations Councillor Huxter had about the traffic flow through Logan well found it. There's only three routes through the town, and the main road has clearly been skipped by some traffic users. And I think the most salient thing was the number of, or the percentage of vehicles exceeding the speed limit, 30 to 60%, I believe, and some road users doing 150 or 160 kilometres an hour in 50 kilometre hour zone. I think these measures, well, I hope these measures address those issues and direct the traffic appropriately to the main street. So yeah, I commend the motion.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak to the motion? So no, Leo Bryan replied in 7. In favour, please. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Moving on to item 12.6. Dr. Gill, would you just like to explain the added wording for this item before we move it?
Yeah, we've just added a clause 2 in the line. You know, that's just to reflect the intended outcome, which is that both the minutes from the 8th of February to four different panel and the 12th of March council meeting will be released.
So much news. Councillor Cascarelli, would you like to speak?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the information. I thought the discussion we had around confidential items was really good. I just want to express some disappointment that when I first got the agenda item and I raised with the administration questions around how do we redact the information or what is the procedure around that, which is now all being explained. And that's great. The response was, your question is noted. There was no time. I have that in an email. There was no time put on that. There was no explanation as to when I would get that information. And I just want to say that we have to have information in order for us to move motions and to make these decisions. So I just hope anyone that questions when they are asked on particular items are just not noted, but we get some sort of clarity as to when we will get the answers. Thank you.
We have someone who'd like to second the motion. Councillor Selwood.
No need to speak.
Anyone else like to speak to the motion? I will just clarify that I think it's relevant to note that our executive governance officer was on leave at that time when the negative impact of the funding was the first place. So with the debate closed, I assume that.
Can I speak up on that
point? Sure.
That's fine, but that was not what it's explained to me.
Sure. The debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Move on to item 12.7, Adelaide Tourism Agreement. We have two motions, there were two decisions to consider here. Ms. Charles, do you have any new information to provide the Chamber? No. So decision one around the CEO's being on that board. So I'd like to move something in relation to decision one. Councillor Grant, as printed?
Yeah, as printed, I need to speak.
So I'd like to second that motion. Councillor Munch, you need to speak. Assume no debate, so all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Decision two, so that is...
Quick
the
one.
Sure.
Point three says to enter into an agreement of $115,669. Mm-hmm. I go to page 326, and I'm going to go there. The funding figure is $110,900.
326.
Right, 326. The schedule to the green.
So on item five and item six is the right number, but item one, you're correct, so 110,900. Is there is that just a typo? Does that need to
what which is it?
It's a type, so it is the larger than the 110,000 that's in the motion itself. The 110 was the last 2 years.
I'm happy to move.
Okay, so move is printed. Absolutely. Would you like to speak to you, Ivan?
No, I think we've had this presentation workshop, very good presentation. I think most of us understand very well what their role and function is. Somewhere in the papers, I see the state government would only put in about 85,000, which was a bit disappointing to know, but it might match this. Anyway, I think for the excellent job and their commitment is noteworthy.
Thank you. Someone else to second the motion. Councillor Grant, you'd like to speak to the item? Anyone else like to speak to this item? Okay, the debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. It is carried unanimously. We will say, I think Ms. Jarman will be missed, and she was quite a powerless in the goal, and I'm leading that board. And I hope you get someone as impressive and experienced as she was. So 4.8, procurement policy. Ms. Billis, do you have any new information you'd like to provide the Chamber?
Thank you. Just wanted to clarify, just considering the conversation that we're in the meeting in regards considering proposals. The procurement policy does include a section on unsolicited proposals, but that's very specifically considering the procurement where council, the administration, procure goods and services. It can happen that a third party approaches council and says that there's something that they think we want to buy from them. And in that section in the policy considers that situation. It doesn't consider other situations such as we see with the interoperator we have or organizations wanting to use our popular use services or ask for grants and so on. It doesn't fit that. We were asked by the Audit and Risk Committee to look at look at how we manage unsolicited proposals in general, and that's a piece of what we're starting to do. that may lead to an unsolicited proposals policy, or whatever it does lead to, will go through the audit committee and presumably the council afterwards.
Thank you for that clarification. Councillor Hearn, you'd like to move something?
Yeah, I'll move it as adopted. I just sure. Thank you, Mr. Lewis, for the explanation. But if you look at the recommendation, if you looked at the recommendation point four, second last point that we've requested a CEO to have a look at unsolicited proposals, it's in general, he's got a fairly wide cover for that, and that will come back in due course, which then could form the basis for policy for unsolicited proposals.
So point four is not in relation to this.
Yes, Tim. Are we talking to Tim?
Yeah, there's only three points.
The audit committee.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, on the audit committee on page 359.
Yeah. No worries.
Yeah, those changes. I'll speak with the chambers. The value of contracts with the CEO, $500,000 to any value. There was debate about that. Provided the funds are in the annual business plans. So that's the key restriction of this to use that delegation. CEO delegate to the directors from 300 to 500. And there's some various other limits placed in there for 20 and then 20 to 200 for expenditure delegations. And they were based on survey of other councils of similar size and purchase. We have also, the audit committee has asked for a picture, a snapshot, twice a year of how procurement is actually undertaken in the council. How many orders or how many approvals for items up to 20,000 from 20 to 100 in those brackets? Is what is it, where's our expenditure being incurred and spent? So that was another piece of reporting. Process, it's in effect, not a controllable process, but an information process for the board committee and council to see how the officers are using their delegation. That's probably important. Yeah, so I commend those changes that the audit committee have been incorporated into the policy that's attached to the report.
Thank you, Councillor Hammond. I'd like to second motion. Councillor Grant, would you like to speak to it?
Yeah, very briefly, thank you, Acting Mayor. Yeah, these are sensible changes. They're not substantial changes and bring us in line with what other similar councils are doing. So, yeah, commendation.
Would anyone else like to contribute to the debate? Councillor Hammond, no need for a right of reply, I assume. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to item 12.9, Budget Review 2. So Lewis, given that there was that change you set out late night, if you'd just like to explain that and if there's any other new information to provide.
Yeah, thank you, the Chair. The amendment we distributed yesterday was just in formatting the report. All our financial reports are calculating and developing the spreadsheets. And when we distributed it, we inadvertently left a column showing which just had some calculations in it. So we removed that and redistributed the report. There's now a change to the numbers. So the original analysis always is all consistent with the report.
Thank you. Would someone like to move something? Councillor Hearn.
Yes, I'll move this show member of the audit committee. Yes, this. But it took, I think, maybe well over an hour to come to some agreement on. It was quite a difficult process. And the recommendation has been for you. It's explanatory, but I just would point out the operating deficit has gone up to $3 million. And the ratio, the operating service ratio is at minus 4.9% instead of an increase of 1.5%. The other two ratios seem to be okay. But the reason for that, again, this voting person has around the millstone around our neck is depreciation. And it's hitting us really hard. And unfortunately, what we've got there today is only the, won't say the tip of the iceberg, it's still more iceberg to come, I think, Mr. Lewis. Particularly in the IT section, where the useful life of equipment was depreciated over a long term, whereas all we know with computers, etc., they're very short-term assets to have. So there's still likely to be, as I understand, another open review three might have some more news about appreciation. The other thing that's of interest and expense are legal fees. They drew a lot of attention to the audit committee. We're up to $400,000. And it could be more to come. There's a, in those papers, there's a schedule of risks, foreseeable risks, and that's one that's been identified. And for whether or more, we're within about 1% of our rate revenue on legal expenses. And I think that's a concern, should be a concern to the council as a council. How we contain that, we didn't have an answer for that, but I think the administration are well aware that the office is paying particular attention to that one, because it's something that the community will pick up on. They won't, they're not that interested in doing this or that. Legal fees and consultants, things like that. It's newsworthy item that people will criticise the council for investing that sort of money later across the reasons for it. But it's still a bit of a concern. I think that's all. I might have something in response. I commend the adoption and look. Do I look forward to budget review this week? I'm not so sure.
Thanks, Councillor Hammond. Do I have a secondary in relation to that one? Councillor March, would you like to speak to the item?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yeah, look, seems like every time we look at the budget these days, we seem to get bad news. This is some more bad news to a certain extent, but I actually think I'm eternally optimistic. I actually think it's actually, to a certain extent, good news, because we're actually reviewing issues, structural issues in our budget, which we can then, once we've identified them, we can address them basically. And this ICT-97 a big one, and surprisingly that they're trying to depreciate computers and servers and things like that over 10 years. And everyone knows, I think that's heard of him talking about him changing the mobile phone after 4 years. They're out of date very quickly. And it surprises me that we're trying to do that. So I think the silver lining to this is we are actually identifying the problems. And once we know we've got a problem, we can do about it. And I guess the other focus I think we need to have is exactly what we're to try and address these sort of structural deficits in the budget. I'm confident we are doing stuff down that measure. So I commend the motion.
Anyone else would like to speak? Councillor Selwood?
Yeah, just very briefly, I echo the comments of Councillor Munch and Councillor Herman. It was discussed at Audit Committee in power. These findings that we're having around our depreciation are actually us being more accountable and transparent. So I think they're good processes, and I think it's good that we're finding them and addressing them early and upfront in a really open way. So it's sort of important that we're doing that.
Councillor Stowell?
I have a few questions through you, Deputy Mayor. First of all, in the third paragraph on the summary, the sentence says the proposed budget adjustment will increase Council's 2024-25 expected deficit from 1.728 million to 3.013 million, representing a decrease of 1.2. Is that decrease or increase? Or is that because it's in deficit? That's a maths question. Yes, well, yeah. So it goes down. Thank you. My second question, if I'm mentioning Deputy Mayor, is just on the legal fees. There's a few things here. First of all, we are trying to address this and work out what the costs are coming from. I've asked this question before. Are we under litigation?
Yes.
No.
The answer.
Okay. So what
what do we actually have to do to bring this down? Because it keeps going up, and it's noted in here that it's unknown how much it's going to keep going up for. And I find that alarming that it will, could get to 1% of our rate revenue. So what do we actually have to do to get this under control?
Administration, CEO, Mr. Lewis, or
okay. It's just it's best to take that up with Matrix.
Sure.
Because it could be, I think answering that usefully would require a lot of consideration.
Okay.
I'm sure that's a job to
Okay. But can we expect an answer to the chamber?
Thank you very much.
And I just want to know what we spent $25,000 on for PR consultants.
To the chair, specifically, it was looking for, it was comms advice around communications on some of those specific issues. It stood a long way outside of animal activity. Some of that would have related to the financial matters that we engaged with the chamber last year, also some matters regarding the mayor's position. So there was some in-depth work in that, in my instance as well. There was also media training as well. So there's a number of things which were not originally budgeted for, which were covered by
that. So risk management would be there?
No, it wasn't really risk management, it was communication. Oh, risks that are not here, reminds me.
Thank you. No more questions. Thank you, James.
Dr. Gilbert, just to clarify.
Can you just correct the record in terms of litigation? I guess technically we are in litigation with OTR.
Okay. Anyone else wish to contribute to the vote?
Further question to that. How much of that litigation is taken up with the 400,000?
Could we please have that in that? I don't believe it's counted. Thank you. Councillor Brown, anyone wanted to speak?
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor.
Yeah, certainly an interesting set of numbers, and the deficit is jaw-dropping. But it's better to have the truth. And then have a beautiful set of numbers that aren't representative. And I must say, over the time I've been here, sometimes the numbers elegantly lined up, but never seemed to sit quite right in my mind. So the truth is always more important than anything else, and we're getting the truth. There's a bit of discussion about legal fees. I think there's a couple of matters that will be put behind us. One we discussed at workshop last week, I think, and that's dealt with. That'll put one thing behind us. We've spent legal fees filling staff vacancies in governance. That's an operating expense. So some of those things were larger than normal for good reason. They simply come up with legal fees rather than wages. Other things, there's work ahead. Depreciation is something we're going to have to reconfigure our budget just to deal with these things. And the only other comment is we do have a very big capital works budget of over 20 million. And losing Mr. Waters may make that harder to get everything done, but I'm sure everything's set up beautifully. And I hope we get all of that done. But anyway, I just want to thank staff for the work that goes into providing this. And we just have to be transparent with the situation and show that we've got a course to improve our position.
Thank you. Does anyone else want to speak to the debate? Councillor, do you need a right?
No, I think there's only time for the chamber. Maybe my personal advice is, by motto here, $100 million
wouldn't go as far. Right, make those in favour, so you can see. Carried unanimously. Move on to item 12.10. Just a quick note, I do have a conflict with point four, which is with respect to the council members' allowance and support policy. So I'd actually be looking
whether an elected member would be looking to move. We'd be willing to move something that excludes that, and then I'll step out of the room for that particular item. So dealing with that policy separately. Councillor Osterstoff. Oh, yeah, sorry, just before you do, Councillor Gill, Dr. Gill, if you could please just outline the change that you circulated by email that we went before.
Thank you, Debbie. And I'm not sure when you get the conclusion or
But yeah, if you could please outline the change.
I did email Council earlier today just with a couple of changes. So just to ensure you they're not major changes. One was just in the agenda report, we had the wrong SNP of the change in the policy, the attached policy had the right change. And the other change is a little bit more substantive. It's to the change, the access to council meeting and documents policy. And on review, we've made a change that aligns the policy with the legislative provisions.
Councillor Sissel, are you looking to move something?
Yes, I'll move items 1 through to 12, excluding item 4.
Would you like to speak to that?
No, it's all self-explanatory.
So, Councillor Gray, can I have a second? Do you want to speak to the item? No. Anyone like to speak to the Councillor Pasquale?
Thank you, and through you, Deputy Mayor. These policies have come to the Chamber too late for me to feel that I can accept this. They should have been presented to us at the same time Resolution 430/24 on the 26th of November came to us. This now shows us how complex that motion was and how 2 hours' notice for some of us was not enough to digest all of its implications, especially now we know the full extent of what they are. For example, while legal advice, council's legal advice, says removing the mayor from our behavioural standards is legal, the legislation states the mayor can refer a complaint to the behavioural standards panel. However, I've had conversations over the past few days which have given me conflicting advice, which says to me there are many ways we can interpret the legislation and our policies. When Councillor Boyd moved a motion on the 26th of November to adjourn this resolution so we can get our heads around all of the implications of this, this is why I supported it. When that motion failed, I was of the opinion that we were not operating under 59A(1), which is to act with integrity, or 3, to recognise and support the role of the principal member under the Act, and that came from the Local Government Act. In addition to this, what happens when the next mayor comes in? Are we assuming that this chamber is going to fall in love with this person and all these policies will be rolled back? This is problematic, and we will have different agendas entering into this chamber. Tea Tree Gully Council are facing this dilemma right now. Having moved a series of resolutions to remove powers from the role of mayor from the previous presiding member, they are now in a position where many of those resolutions are still in place. So let's jump ahead in time when the next council elections roll around. We will be calling for nominations for the role of mayor. However, they won't have any powers as the mayor. They will just sit in the chair and preside over meetings. Are we going to be transparent and let the incoming mayor know that hopefully the chamber likes them and lets them have their powers back? I did not agree with the original resolution and most certainly not the changes in front of me, and I don't think our community really agrees with it like that, so I won't be supporting this motion.
Anyone else like to speak? So, Councillor
Harris. Question. If we adopt the recommendation that's binding on this council, can we limit it so that it expires on the 9th of August 2006, so that the incoming mayor would
have... No, not the 9th of August 2006, probably the 9th of November 2006.
9th or whatever, November 2026. Can the policy stay in place until then, so that the new mayor coming in will have the normal powers of the mayor? I'd like to prefer that to be the case, if I accept what Council Pasquale is saying, that the local policy, the new mayor.
Yeah, well, let's not debate. We'll just
Some question.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. Yes, that's open to Council to move that. Our current intention, anyway, would be to revert to the original policies.
My view is that we will state that it expires at the end of the council, in November 2026. If that's my suggestion.
That'd be a variation. No, I don't.
Okay, so I guess Councillor Stock, Councillor Grant, the suggested potential variation is that the changes in the policy expire at the end of the current council term.
Can I do it this way?
Hold on a second. But the changes listed in the policies that relate to the mayor.
I've just moved items 1 through to 12, excluding 4. In addition to point 12, comma after policies, that the aforementioned changes are current until the end of this current council term, upon which they will then be reviewed by the incoming council. Will that achieve the outcome, Dr. Gibson?
I think that's fine.
When it says that they will be reviewed, that implies that it's not reverting back. So,
well, the incoming council may have some other ideas about
that. To me, it's contradictory. It's saying that it's to the end of the current term, but then the new council will deal with that.
Well, just simply to the end of the current council term.
Okay. I think that's more explicit. And I think, as Dr. Gibbons said, I think it needs to, the aforementioned changes in relation to the mayor, because there are some other minor changes made throughout a couple of pages,
yeah,
reference to executive governance officer and all that.
Yep.
Okay, so Mayor's happy to have that as a variation. Is the seconder? So seek leave the meeting that variation is accepted. Okay, all right, we'll resume debate from that point. So only Councillor Stock move, Councillor Brown second and not speak, then Councillor Pascali speak. Would anyone else like to speak to the others? Councillor Gray, you'd like to speak now?
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. I'll just be brief. I think that motion's exactly what we need. Need to remind the Chamber why we have done all this. We've done all this because an independent investigation found the Mayor guilty of a number of behavioural issues, including bullying, and exposed the Council to considerable risk and had legal advice on that. All of these matters were necessary in order to protect this organisation and staff within it. We've had no other choice, so I commend the motion to the Chamber.
Anyone else like to speak to the guys? Councillor Selwyn?
I don't want to speak, but it's just a grammar thing with remove the powers from the Mayor and allocate them to the Deputy Mayor.
The Chamber.
Changes the time. I'm not sure I get the makeup for when I was like, this was other word than.
And allocated to.
Yes, that's better. Thank you. Appropriate.
So just to double check with the November second as well and leave the meeting. We need some hands up. Thank you. All right, would anyone else like to contribute to the debate? Councillor Stock, reply if you need one.
I don't think I need one.
Thank you. With the debate closed, all those in favour indicate. Against, that is carried unanimously. So just with respect to the council member allowances and support policy, as there are potential
personal direct benefits or deterrence, depending on what you decide in relation to that item, I'm going to declare a material conflict of interest and vacate the chair for this item.
Thank you, I'll just wait for Councillor Deputy Mayor Daniels to leave the chamber. And I seek leave of the meeting. I could do a temporary chair just for that item. All in favour? Yes, thank you. Could I have someone nominate to get Councillor come forward? Thank you.
Great. Thanks, everyone. This shouldn't take too long. Does anyone have anything to report?
Yes, I do. I'll move point one, decision 2.1, as printed, and adopt point two will include 11 and 12 from the previous motion. Just cut and paste. 11 and 12 will become 2 and 3. Please.
Thank you. Okay. Would you like to speak?
No need to speak. It's all been taken. Thank you.
Do you have a second there? Councillor Marsh, do you wish to speak?
There is one point that I want to make about this. I'm not suggesting that we change it, but we're now going to be paying a mayoral amounts to like the deputy mayor. We're not going to be paying the mayoral amounts. This is for myself. We will be providing a whole bunch of benefits to the deputy mayor and the mayor. And I guess my question is, what impact is that on the budget? It's just something to reflect on, basically. Really, we should be thinking about withdrawing some of those benefits that the mayor has, because she's not attending all these functions and stuff like that. And it seems a bit weird to me. But so, having said that, I support my motion.
Question changes. Question.
Councillor Herman.
In terms of the allowance that's fixed, we can't change that since whatever it is, four times a day. Can't change it.
Just legislated.
What about the car? That's a council's addition to the land.
She hasn't got a car.
So she claims one.
Yeah, I think she claims that, travel allows. Dr. Gill, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, through you, Chair. So currently, under the policy, she has access to use a car, council car. In practice, the mayor doesn't use a council car, and she claims reimbursements for travel as any elected member.
So does the debt engineer now come involved with a vehicle?
The debt engineer would also have access to a vehicle, and in practice, he's not likely to use that access.
Thank you.
Is there any debate? Councillor Austin Stock, I presume you don't need to speak further, but if you wish to.
I will, just briefly. This is a deficiency in the Local Government Act, where this council and other councils are confronted with mayors, where the council has resolved the votes of no confidence and imposed commensurate sanctions, and the mayor refuses to resign, and there is absolutely nothing the council can do. That is a deficiency in the legislation, and in my view, it needs to be corrected.
The debate being over, could I have a show of hands in support of the motion? And that's carried unanimously. And on that note, I'll stand down if we have Mr. Councillor Daniel invited back in.
All right, so we've got in the end of the decision items. Move on to 13, information items, which there are none. There is one correspondence for noting, and someone like to move to note that. Thanks, Councillor Boyd, you can move. A seconder, Councillor Mudge.
I've just got a question, sure, good about that. What were the organisations that this letter was sent to? It's obviously.
Torrens Valley, Ringa, Sterling RSL, and you're right. Anyone else like to speak to the item or ask a question? For those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Noting the time, moving on to questions without notice. Councillor Selwood.
I just wondered if we could have a quick update on the Myall water situation.
Sure. Now, CEO, Mr. Woods.
Through you, Deputy Mayor, I might use this opportunity to talk about what we're looking at doing as well. We are working with the education department and the Department of Environment and Water to come up with a solution. But at the moment, we've restricted access just to the five permanent holes, as we appreciate. We've put in the device to cut off or regulate the water, therefore allowing for the holding tank to replenish. There's no problem with the bore pump itself. It's really about allowing the tank to refill appropriately. And that has, well, I've been told that it has refilled. Took a few days to refill. But on that note, I was going to raise it in my CO report what I was hoping to bring to council's attention is that I am actively working with DW and SA Water at a recent meeting this week. They want to take a more strategic approach around our board across the whole area. And collaborate with us around making sure that they are accessible and functional to community groups and residents. But further to that, look at future proofing that the needs of the Adelaide Hills region and working with their SA Water, where we devise maybe a system of standard pipes across the area. Now, because Myall's not alone, there's other approaches from other communities. Approached council to seek help from us around addressing the drought and the water shortages out across the region. Thank you.
Councillor Mann and then Councillor Bowen.
One quick question. Do the recipients pay for the water?
No, they don't.
Councillor Bowen?
I have a separate question in a second.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't mind an update on the funding that we're receiving for the Cox Creek update and Cox's Creek regurgitation and what the timeline on that is and you know where and when that's likely to begin at this point as far as we know.
Thank you for you, Deputy Mayor. The work has begun. We've actually received the first $500,000 payment from the federal government, which is terrific. And bulk of the work will commence shortly. We're still in something of a gearing up phase, I guess, around that. And so you'll have to circulate some more information with detail around specific activities and timelines. But this is a project that will go over a number of years, or 2 years at least. And so there'll be a sustained level of activity during that time.
Thank you, Mayor.
Just on the same topic. I understand that the grant provides for a part FTE to facilitate the grant, but is there going to be any additional administrative support to help the biodiversity team? Because it is a big project to administer.
Yeah, through you, Deputy Mayor. Yes, the grant does allow some funding for an additional project officer to work on the project, and we're underway with recruiting for that role now, specifically around admin support. That's not something I've put my mind to particularly, the project team probably have, but I guess what I would say is that it's not just that one project officer who is putting time and effort into this, but a range of people who are putting bits of their time to support the project as we do with the other project.
No further questions about those? Does anyone have a motion about those? I've heard of any, so should not. Moving on to item 17 around reports, council member functions of the Proactive Young Business Council. Just note that there are up on the screen, and they've on 17.2 reports of members, officers on external organizations.
Sorry, can we just have a few moments just to look at the mayor's report?
Sure. Please. Is it appropriate for the second of my to be in there? Given that I wasn't.
Well,
yeah, Councillor, sorry.
Yes, I just have a question around the mayor's attendance at the 21st of February signing of the memorandum, and just wondering whether there was any media presence, whether any media comment was given.
Deputy Prime was there, and yes, there was. We put out a media release. I'm not sure if there's any comment at the event. Is that specifically what you're asking? Or
yes, given that Mary's not the principal spokesperson, I'm just making sure that was.
I spoke to it in a radio interview, but I'm not sure.
No, there was no. And there was no new statements.
Thank you.
I just wonder, Mark. I'll ask a question. In terms of the mayor's entry of the 19th to the 23rd of January, the tour down under, and the mayor's explanation in brackets, followed by that event of the 24th of January, that explanation in brackets, is it appropriate and does it comply with policy that be included in the mayor's report?
I'd also ask questions around the 26th. She's stating that as mayor she attended those events, which is against our resolution. The two barbecues.
But also including that you attended.
Yes, I attend. Dr. Gill would be the thing to the range of things raised.
We're going to take that on notice and review what's in the minutes before they come out.
Okay, so the administration will review what's appropriate to be in the minutes.
Thank you.
Yes. External organisations, probably Councillor Grant, it'd be good to move your Regional Waste Management Authority point down to there. It was an external group. I don't know if you. Maybe you'd like to circulate an email on how that went. I'm personally curious, but also one other spot.
Yeah, I can do that. Pretty extensive.
CEO, if you have anything,
I have done my full of attendance over. Sure. Board of River Flood Management Authority at the end of the meeting on the 7th of February. That's the word. The good news that came out of that was that the best of the council board.
I'm generally segue that way, and I'm just very mindful of time, and we do have a very important potential. Thank you. We are interested. CEO, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Very quickly, just one item. I need to draw councillors' attention to a worksite improvement notice that Santa Bacchus has issued. It's in relation to the code of practice for meeting proceedings, and I will put that up on the notice board over there for you to have a look at. Simply put, it's out of date, and they've asked us to update it and to improve some latest working on safety measures in it, and we're doing that as we speak.
Thank you. Can I ask Councillor Selwood and Councillor Oss. Oh, well, actually, it is 9:57, so if we would like to deal with those confidential items, or at least one of them, I think we need to move the extension of time. It has to be 30 minutes. Councillor Mudge, you're happy to move it as such. Councillor Parkin to second. All those in favour to indicate. Those against, it is carried. Again, questions in relation to this, just be mindful, do you need to ask them now? I'll ask it offline. Thank you, really appreciate that. So we will then move on to reports of committees. We do have one considered on confidential items. So we'll move through to confidential items. I'd like to bring forward 19.3, noting that we do have some external people that will be joining us to consider that item. Do I have the meaning to do that? So we'll deal with 19.3, and the first thing we need to do is to move into confidence. So thank you for joining us this evening. I appreciate that you stayed for the whole hopefully you found it interesting. It's quite a diverse meeting tonight.